InfoWars, tomorrow's news, today.
If you remember, your regular viewer listener, about 5 years ago, I began starting the show with air raid sirens. In the past, I might do it 2 or 3 times a year to note danger. Now, we play them every day. And I said at the time, because you're going to start hearing real air raid sirens in the Middle East, in Europe, in Asia, and now you do. Because we're going into the fourth turning, and the old order is collapsing. You've got all these other factions, some good, some bad, jockeying for control. Now, I had Nick Fuentes on yesterday, and I agree with his anger and how he's upset with Trump, but I disagree when he says, don't vote Republican, that'll punish them for not keeping some of their promises. When you compare them to the Democrats and how many good Republican candidates there are and good people in government and governors and attorney generals and Dan Crenshaw, the neocon, losing by 15 points in the primary last night in Texas and Jasmine Crockett getting shot down, that's the big fight. Trump doesn't decide our total destiny unless he gets us all killed in a nuclear war. He wrote in on the populist wave that we're all a part of. So when you balance it out, and people that are totally anti-Trump misrepresent what I say, and people that are pro-Trump misrepresent, I'm very clear. And I think my view, my idea is very pragmatic. It's what everybody should adopt. I think most people do adopt this. We don't want communism. We don't want the Great Reset. We don't want open borders. We don't want the New World Order. And obviously, we are taking over more and more of the Republican Party from just a beachhead to we now control the majority of it, 70% or so, I would say. It's almost ours. And the process over the years is more and more of the neocons and rhinos are steadily being removed, and we're getting more and more hardcore people in. And I don't apologize for supporting Trump for 10 years. It's been night and day compared to the Democrats. They persecuted him. They persecuted me and many of you that supported him because he was going up against the globalist. And he really believes this is the right thing in Iran, even though obviously it's a trap and it's wrong. We've been proven right. But I am extremely upset about it, and I think it's good to let Trump know that. But he's very pig-headed, so I don't think that that's going to have much effect. But it will have effect on other people in Congress to not just let him be under the control of Israel and the neocons and Lindsey Graham. Because we got to put the brakes on this. And I see what we cover and what we talk about, the Pentagon, the White House responding in live time. And we get a lot of calls from the White House and the Pentagon, and not just myself, the other reporters, about, well, Alex was saying this, tell Alex that. I mean, just, you know, she's big in the Washington press course. They all know her. They call her, you know. She gets a bunch of calls every day. I mean, high up. Like, well, we saw Alex say this and tell him this. So the point is there's a bunch of good people up there. And they're very receptive. And then you got bad people in there, like Todd Blanche, you know, running the Justice Department. And, you know, killing good investigations that are important. So I'm not saying Nick's bad for saying walk away from the Republican Party to teach a lesson because we're not their bitch. I get his anger. But if you really sit back and analyze that, that doesn't really save the country in the end. And the neocons and the Thunes of the world and the Lindsey Grahams of the world want the MAGA people to walk away so we're not influencing the Republican Party and continuing to take it over. This is a process, folks. Rome wasn't built in a day. And, well, we'll talk about it when we come back. But we have gotten so much good under Trump. And if he goes, starts going sideways, which is happening, that's sad, but we just move forward. Yeah. have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I sat out with our sponsors, said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Horsemen are drawing nearer. Let us eat a ride. We come to take your life. You see the four horsemen ride. It's Wednesday, March 4th, 2026. And we have the great Tommy Robinson in studio. Finally, after being blocked for decades coming here, he is here. What a populist hero of the West and Christendom. What a great patriot. And I saw him get off the air 2 minutes before we went on air with Brian Morello, and I wanted to go say hi to him, but I had to run in here and go on air. That was a surreal thing to see Tommy 20 feet away, but have to come running in here. It's like an anthill battling the globalist in here. And so we'll be discussing just incredible tyranny in Europe and the UK. He is the first really to break the grooming giant pedophile network of the Islamicists, put in jail repeatedly for exposing it. Just amazing. Keir Starmer, who is the head magistrate protecting all the pedophiles. It's really all coming to a head. Also, his view on Islam and on the Iran war. I know he's been more positive towards it, which is fine. I can see his perspective because Islam is a major issue. Iran has made a lot of threats. A lot of things are going on. My issue is that Trump promised no regime change outside of our hemisphere. And here's the big announcement. We put the live show feed up. Obviously, there's been U.S. Special Forces and CIA and others humetting human intelligence and force multiplying in Iran forever, particularly in the rural areas and the border areas, particularly in the northwest that borders Iraq and Turkey with the Kurds. And that's the perfect destabilization group because they're in all three countries. And they've been used by the British intelligence, Israelis, and the U.S. to destabilize Turkey, Syria, Iraq, and Iran. And so it's going to be that Kurdistan area. They're promising them their own country. And, of course, Turkey's not going to go along with it. Iran's not. But now Syria has a globalist puppet, former head of Al-Qaeda, in charge. He will. So they can resupply weapons from him. But there are a lot of U.S. special forces in Kurdistan, inside Iran right now. That's basically been admitted to, but I also have sources. And there are thousands of U.S. troops now operating inside of Iran. So when Trump says, oh, I may send in boots on the ground, they're talking about an infantry full-on invasion there. But technically, U.S. troops are already there. And from the numbers I've been told, they said it's big. And so, just like I said Saturday morning, first video I put up, I said, we're committed to war now. Trump is committed to war. No matter what it takes, The globalists took 15 years to bring down Syria and Assad. And they did it right before Trump came back into office. And they tried many times before. And so whether it takes a year or 5 years, this plan to bring down Iran will just continue. And it will cost us trillions in the end and could potentially trigger a new nuclear war, a new world war. It just runs from bad to worse. And this is about reality. We're not Dory from Finding Nemo that has no memory every 10 seconds. Remember, oh, strategic strikes, oh, beautiful strikes, those perfect strikes. We took out their 3 nuclear sites. Now we're safe. Everything's fine. Back in June, I said, 9 months ago, I said, watch, this is just getting you ready for full war and regime change. Then they tried to have color revolutions 4 or 5 times, including the last week, last 5 days. That didn't work because what do they have? They have the young teenagers that want to just party and dance on top cars and women that are rebelling. But when it comes to the million-man army of the Iranians and their cult-like devotion to their mullah, it is not going away. And Trump was advised that Iran would probably not fall, that the mullahs probably wouldn't fall, that the Islamic Republic wouldn't fall, the Islamic State wouldn't fall. And that's where we are. So the intention is to bring them down no matter what. And Trump, the left's always saying Trump's a huge liar and Trump's full of bull. I know policies. I know what he actually says and what he does. Trump is one of the most honest leaders I've ever seen, even though I disagree with him some. But on this, in the same press conferences, they all contradict each other. And I can tell you why. The U.S., it was a preemptive attack on Iran. Pentagon, no sign that Iran was going to attack first. U.S., no. But if Israel attacked Iran, then Iran would have attacked us, so we preemptively attacked them first. This is beyond satire. And then Trump's like, oh, they were going to hit us. We had to hit them. And he's talking about the CIA telling him that Iran was trying to kill him. Iran did, during his first term, put out some promo videos, you know, saying we'll kill Trump and showing a robot, you know, sneak into Mar-a-Lago and kill him. But back when the deep state tried to kill Trump and Butler, they immediately, and I predicted this, they did within 3 days, I said the day after, tried to blame Iran and claimed Crooks was working with Iran. Of course, that turned out not to be true. And so they have convinced Trump that Iran was trying to kill him. And remember, that was the excuse with George W. Bush. Oh, Iraq had a murder plot, an assassination plot against his dad, George Herbert Walker Bush. So even though Iraq wasn't involved in 9/11, we still went over there because they tried to kill his daddy. No proof ever shown. You know it wasn't Iran tried to kill Trump at Mar-a-Lago the last 2 times. You know it wasn't Iran that shot Trump in the ear, grazed him at Butler. And the Secret Service stand down on the cover-up. And now Hegseth's up there, oh, yes, the mastermind of the Iranian plot to assassinate Trump is dead, Hegseth claims. So it's about stopping their nuclear program. It's about getting rid of their ballistic missiles. It's about stopping them preemptively hitting us first. It's about Israel striking. So they're going to strike us. We have to strike first. That's like pre-crime. And now, oh, they tried to kill Trump. So that's why we're there. I wonder what it'll be in 5 minutes. I mean, I'm serious. So whereas our military did a really great precision job getting Maduro, and that's in our hemisphere, and he was in our business, and that's a criminal matter. I believe that was constitutional. I said this may whet Trump's appetite for more adventurism, and when it comes to international law, I don't mind seeing the old global order and the UN discredited, and I like America ignoring their, you know, their fake garbage. But this is rules of war that even predates that, and it's in our Constitution to not launch offensive attacks, and it's in there that we're going to go to full war, which this is. You got to have Congress authorize. So, and it's a quagmire, and it's a bear trap, and it goes against Trump's promises. So that's why you got the Pentagon people saying this is not a war. And then you've got other people saying, oh, it is a war, like Trump. And then, okay, it's not a war. And it's all legalese. But you notice the top Democrats aren't even really criticizing Trump for this. The same Israel lobby, you know, has great sway over them. And there's a lot of other lobbies that want this as well. The defense contractors, the list goes on and on. Because long before Israel was reconstituted in 47, British intelligence created the modern country you see in the Middle East and drew the lines of them to create as much division and balkanization as possible. Called the Great Game. Just like they bring incompatible groups into the West, and then it's like in a prison, they put the Hispanics, blacks, and whites in different areas on purpose. Then the warden and the jail guards will have a boss, ethnic boss, that's over each group, and the inmates kind of police themselves in a hierarchical system. Yeah, now Trump's saying, print me that, by the way. Trump warns Iran war could go on forever. What did I say Saturday? Forever. Yeah, he said that in the press conference. We've got some clips of it. So this is just mind-blowing. Why are the U.S. and Israel fanning the ongoing conflict as a religious war? U.S. was reportedly told the war in Iran is intended to bring about biblical end times Armageddon. And as much as I like Hegseth, we've got him in speeches, you know, 6, 7, 8 years ago saying that. I like his leadership. I like him shutting down the DEI. I mean, I like him on so many fronts. But they are really gearing the troops up for some end-of-the-world type stuff. I mean, they're not trying to make a prequel to Dune here or anything. So I'm just going to call it like it is. We are being treated like absolute idiots. We are being lied to at every front. We are at war with Iran. They are totally committed. They are not going to stop. It's bipartisan. It's multinational. And it's extremely dangerous, even if you support getting rid of the mullahs, which I wouldn't be sad if they disappeared and suddenly Iran had freedom. You have to know that in the CIA's own assessment, it's going to cause a civil war and Iran's going to break in three parts. And that's exactly what Israel wants. It wants to break up every country in the region, and that's how it's going to have its greater Israel project. So let's start getting into this, but remember, Tommy Robinson is going to be in studio for an hour and a half with us. Very excited about that. I have some other special guests. My son Rex is going to be in studio to talk about all this. And with his co-host of his show. And so much more. And then we have the primary results around the country that overall show radical leftists losing to less radical leftists. So it shows Democrats are, rejecting the Jasmine Crockett stuff. And the absolutely rhino, neocon, lying, evil eye patch McCain lost by 15 points in the primary, Dan Crenshaw, who hates my guts, and I'm proud of the fact he does. Texas finally found out what a phony he is. I mean, he is bad, bad, bad. And I'm sure he'll have a show on MSNBC. I'm not even joking. I bet within 2 months he's got a show on MSNBC or CNN. He'll be the new Psycho Joe Scarborough. Oh, Scarborough voted with the Democrats 90% of the time and got found with the hot intern's brains bashed out at his offices when he was up there on the weekend. Sure, nothing was going on. And now he's a top ring race for, you know, who is the New World Order. But just listen to this. This is the flip-flopping around. Of course, Rubio's telling the truth. They were set to hit Saturday evening U.S. time, which would be the middle of the night over there. And instead, Israel said, they're going into the main command base. They're in the bunker. We're going to hit in the middle of the day. When that put our aircraft and everything at way more risk. And so we were pushed into this. Trump comes out and says, actually, I gave Israel the order to do it. I told them what to do. And that's not even true. The Pentagon and the State Department told the truth. And that's terrible on its face, that Israel leads us around by the nose. But war planners had always been worried about things. We have a defense pact with Israel that if they attack somebody, then they get attacked back. Now we've got to attack. You talk about manipulating our foreign policy. And it's just getting worse. And then I want to get to this Mike Johnson just bumbling and babbling around. We also have even Australia and even conservatives over there pointing out in what international law says. Senator Blumenthal is absolutely corrupt and evil. Says we got to get ready now to have troops on the ground necessary. So he's basically pushing it. I mean, this is escalating very, very fast. And then I've also got I don't normally air liberal shows, but I do like this comedian. And I hate being in a position where liberal shows on The Daily Show are actually telling the truth. So we're back in that position, back when they used to talk about George Herbert Walker Bush and then George W. Bush being corrupt liars and warmongers and Cheney, it was true. Now, of course, when they get in power, they're even worse and start World War III with the Russians. But this report is very accurate. So actually, I want to go to Rubio and then Trump. And then I want to go to this MAGA will do anything to deny that Trump started the war with Iran, even if it means using the same propaganda as Putin. Wait till you see this because it's dead on. So let's play those three clips back to back. Here they are.
Absolutely was an imminent threat, and the imminent threat was that we knew that if Iran was attacked, and we believed they would be attacked, that they would immediately come after us. And we were not going to sit there and absorb a blow before we responded, because the Department of War assessed that if we did that, if we waited for them to hit us first after they were attacked, and by someone else, Israel attacked them, they hit us first, and we waited for them to hit us, we would suffer more casualties and more deaths. We went proactively in a defensive way to prevent them from inflicting higher damage. Had we not done so, there would have been hearings on Capitol Hill about how we knew that this was going to happen and we didn't act preemptively to prevent more casualties and more loss of life.
We were having negotiations with these lunatics, and it was my opinion that they were going to attack first. They were going to attack. If we didn't do it, they were going to attack first. I felt strongly about that. And we have great negotiators, great people, people that do this very successfully and have done it all their lives very successful. And based on the way the negotiation was going, I think they were going to attack first. And I didn't want that to happen.
We are now 4 days into this war, and it's going great. It's definitely not expanding into an ever-widening regional conflict that puts Americans in immediate danger.
Overnight, the State Department issuing its strongest warning yet, urging U.S. nationals to depart now.
The State Department advising Americans to evacuate from 14 countries covering most of the Middle East.
Ugh, things are escalating fast. Americans now have to evacuate from Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and several other countries where Louis C.K. does stand-up. Of course, the problem with evacuating from a war zone is that all the airports are closed. And I'm sure our government planned for this. U.S. Ambassador to Israel Mike Huckabee, help us out. Tell the stranded Americans how to get home.
The Israeli Ministry of Tourism is providing bus service from several locations.
I'm sorry, you want us to take a bus out of a war zone? In the movies, there's a chopper outside, and a Navy SEAL comes down on a rope, and he pulls you on board, and he says, you're going to make it in time for your daughter's birthday. But you're sitting there telling me, it's fine, take the Greyhound. There's no Wi-Fi, and the bathroom works as long as you don't poop in it. By the way, is this the official ambassador outfit these days? He looks like the guy who sits outside of a gas station and gives you directions to someplace in the woods where he can kill you. And the most upsetting thing about this is that it's all happening under a president who promised that this wasn't going to happen.
I'm not going to start a war. I'm going to stop wars. No new wars. We don't need the wars. My personality is going to keep us out of wars. I am the candidate of peace. I am peace. I will stop the chaos in the Middle East.
Well, 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 looks like we caught Donald Trump in a lie. That ought to do it for his presidency, huh? Not bad for the old Costa. You're welcome, America. All right. So to Trump's supporters, I'm sorry, but you have to admit he's gone back on his promise by starting a new war.
This isn't a war. We haven't declared war on Iran.
I don't know if this is technically a war.
Strategic strikes are not war.
Nobody should classify this as war. It is combat operations.
Sure, sure. It's a strategic combat operations. Guys, you can call it whatever you want. We all know it's a war. This reminds me of how my Aunt Trudy, she used to bring her so-called roommate to Thanksgiving every year. We all knew they weren't roommates. They were soulmates, and they were scissoring. The war with Iran is just like my two gay aunts. Shown here, exactly how they look. By the way, this all seems a little familiar. Where else have I recently heard such a pathetic attempt to not call a war a war?
Russian forces began hitting targets in Ukraine overnight. Russian President Vladimir Putin announced what he called a special military operation. He refused to call it a war.
Ah, great. Always good for the country to have the same messaging strategy as Vladimir Putin. We don't need Trump copying more shit Putin does. It's a slippery slope that could lead to the worst possible
scenario.
All right,
scenario. Hit pause. Back it up 2 seconds. I'm not defending Putin, but if you want to know who first started calling wars special actions, police actions, emergency actions, it's the UN and the U.S. after World War II. What was Korea? A police action. What was Vietnam? A humanitarian mission. So let's get it straight. I love how we're told the Russians are the fanciest liars there are. We taught them everything they know. Go back to it.
Forces began hitting targets in Ukraine overnight. Russian President Vladimir Putin announced what he called a special military operation. He refused to call it a war.
Ah, great. Always good for the country to have the same messaging strategy as Vladimir Putin. We don't need Trump copying more shit Putin does. It's a slippery slope that could lead to the worst possible scenario, Trump going shirtless. And, and I know they don't want to admit it's a war because that would require Congress's approval and directly contradict President Trump's promises. But they're also so desperate not to call it a war that one conservative newscaster is arguing with his own graphics package.
War with Iran? Maybe it's war in Iran.
War from Iran? War via Iran? What if we combine them? War-ran? Is that anything?
Yeah, don't worry, America. It's not a war. Just like NATO starting a war with Russia. Oh, don't worry. It's not a war. Putin's like, yeah, it's not a war. Nothing to worry about here. Look, I said it Saturday. I said, get it done quick. I hope it works. It probably isn't going to. And it's going to be decades. They spent 15 years getting Assad in Syria. And then Trump came out yesterday. I got in the club and he said, it might last forever. May need boots on the ground. Oh, the boots are on the ground, baby. And a lot of them. And this is bad, 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 bad. A lot more straight ahead. Tommy Robinson in studio and more. Stay with us. We're engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at TheologyShowStore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high-quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose absolutely free with our creatine. TheAlexJonesStore.com. We'll be right back. If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexShowStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you, it helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from TheAlexShowStore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at TheAlexShowStore.com. I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling 3 emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and 2 others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get 1 or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Most banned network in the world.
I'm in Texas. I'm at InfoWars Studio. I've been waiting a long time to come here. I'm about to meet Alex Jones. I'm going to shake his hand. We've talked for a long time. We're going to put the world to rights. We're going to discuss Islam. We're going to discuss mass immigration. Texas, the problems that are here now embedded in your country because they're going to grow. I've experienced it. We're going to talk the war in Iran. We're going to talk about things we agree on and probably things we disagree on. Tune in live to hear that discussion. And if you want to follow my journey, it's TommyInUSA.com. And thank you to Elon Musk because you wouldn't have been able to listen to these conversations, these debates and these discussions. Follow Alex Jones at Real Alex Jones or me at T Robinson New Era. Thank you.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Yeah, I've been interviewing Tommy since he first got arrested exposing giant child kidnapping rings by the Muslims, working with the Keir Starmer, literally was their boss. And I've never met him in person. And like I said, he was home with Brianna Morello in the studio next to me. And I had 2 minutes when it ends to get in here. And then he comes walking out. I come walking out. He didn't see me. And I wanted to go raise his hand, but then I had to run in here and get on air. So I'm really excited because he's just right in there in the green room. And then I wanted to go talk to him during the break, but I'm so busy getting news articles and clips. He's a news guy. He knows how it is. But I just can't wait to talk to him because he's a real folk hero. And he has been put in solitary confinement for years, tortured. They put him in the Muslim wing. And they would just come every day and defecate all over under his cell door, literally. And just everything he said turned out to be accurate. He would secretly record the Muslims doing all this. They would put him in prison for it. I mean, he's been in prison at least three times, jailed dozens of times. Antifa comes to his house to kill his family. It's just unbelievable. I mean, this guy is a fighter. And that's who I admire, is people that have staying power and are fighters. And people think I got energy. The crew's like, man, this guy's got a lot of energy. So we're talking to him early. He's like bouncing around like a pinball in here. But that's what it takes. And let me tell you, England's about, it's just accelerating here. 5 years ahead of us. France is about 6-7 years ahead of us. The Netherlands, Sweden. The Muslims have a plan. It's in the Quran. They say they're your friend. They say they're nice until they hit about 6-8% of your population. Then they start pushing you, attacking you, raping your kids. They're allowed under Islam to deal drugs to us, everything, because we are infidel or kafirs, which is like an N-word. And look, some Muslims are backsliders and aren't real Muslims, and they're nice people. But any real Muslim that's following Muhammad, the damn Quran is a takeover manual. It's a special operations enslavement murder manual. And it's all, men are allowed to have sex with little boys. And you're allowed to, kill your wife if you don't like what she's doing. I mean, it is just sick. People go, oh, Islam's not like the left with all the pedophilia and stuff. It's at least moral. No, it's not. It's all two-faced. If you're an adult male and then they catch you having sex with an adult male, then you can be executed. Unless you apologize the right way. It's all in the Quran and the hadiths that come after it. But if you're screwing a kid, that's just fine. I mean, it's folks, I've read the Quran at least three times. If you're ready to get a headache, read it, okay? And it's a bunch of plagiarized stuff all mixed together. I mean, it sounds like it was written by a gorilla on PCP, okay? So go read it for yourself. And it's all how he came in, how he manipulated, how he lied, how he took over Medina, and then he took over the next thing and the next thing. And then 100 years after his death, he'd taken over most of the Middle East. I mean, it's just bad news. I'm already going on an Islam rant. I'm sorry. Tommy Robinson's coming up. Up to 1 million people on the streets now when he calls for a march. Unbelievable. I remember a couple years ago, he was outside the country. They had an arrest warrant out for him for violating a gag order exposing Muslim pedophile rings. And I said, Tommy, don't go back. Don't go be sent back to prison. And he said, no, I'm innocent. I'm going to go face him. And they threw him in prison for what, like a year or something? I mean, again, I'm telling you, I'm tough, but I'm not going to go back to a country where they're about to throw my ass in a prison, because I've learned these courts are so corrupt. You think ours are corrupt? They're getting rid of jury trials, even for like violent crimes now. Oh, you know about the UK. The UK is so bad. It's so crazy. I can't even believe it. It's not becoming North Korea. It's beyond it in many ways. But it's lisping people with effeminate voices like Starmer. And we're instinctively, epigenetically not threatened by, a dude that looks like a total flaming pedophile homo like Starmer lisping and everything. And then most of his ministers are weird women and people. So you don't think of that as threatening. That's done on purpose. If Hitler would have worn a pink uniform, he would have won the war. Because people will say, oh, that guy's wearing a pink uniform. He's not dangerous. That's why Bill Gates, I told you this years ago, but it came out later. He had a PR firm tell him, wear pink sweaters. It makes you more likable. Literally. Mass murderer wants to depopulate you and your family. Admits he wants to. But he wears a pink sweater, so it's just like, oh, a pink sweater, It can't be bad. It can't be, doing something mean to me. And that's why pedophiles famously, for a long time, it's why it's in The Shining, wear like a teddy bear outfit. and then they come into the three-year-old or four-year-old like a teddy bear, and the kid doesn't know what's going on. I mean, this is just, it's like a Trojan horse. All right, I'm ranting. I'm going to stop. Tommy Robinson coming up. So excited about this. And then he's going to interview me after the show today. Look forward to that. And then hopefully, I think tonight or tomorrow night, we're going to get dinner. So I'm really, really excited about this. All right, getting back to where I was. Let me address this right now. Because Nick Fuentes is very eloquent, and I respect his opinion that we should put pressure on the Republicans by saying we're not going to vote for you. And then if they have a huge defeat in the midterms, that will get them back on track. But I think the neocons are trying to make a comeback. They admit they are. I think they want to do all of this and manipulate Trump to sabotage voter turnout so that all these great new candidates and patriots out there that are winning primaries and getting elected, that gets stunted. So as angry as I am about no real prosecutions of globalists for any of the things they've done and all the rest of it, there's so much good, and the Democrats are so much worse on its face that I could never vote for a Democrat, and I think people should vote and get others to vote, but also study the candidates. And then if you don't like a candidate or neocon or something, don't vote for them. But don't throw the baby out with the bathwater just because Trump is starting to betray us and going sideways on quite a few issues. The liability protection for Roundup, glyphosate, trying to suppress the Epstein files will totally destroy the Democrats because he's made some deal behind the scenes with them, I'm told. Now this Iran thing saying, I told you no regime change. This is a regime change, but we're going to get rid of them, and we're going to go forever as long as it takes till they're gone. And you're like, you just said in the same press conference yesterday with the German Chancellor, Merz, I should play the whole thing. I mean, you've seen it. It's all over the news. But no, this isn't regime change, but we're going to go until they're gone, and this may last forever, but this isn't a war. And I'm just like, if you're going to do this and break your promise, at least don't talk to me like I'm 2 years old. Don't talk to me like I've had a lobotomy. I mean, stop insulting me. That's what I said 10, 11 months ago when the cover-up of Epstein started. They go, actually, there are no Epstein files. And actually, he acted alone. He wasn't a pedophile. He had no accomplices, and he killed himself. And crooks acted alone, you know, trying to kill Trump. And I'm just like, if you're going to cover it up for whatever reason, I'm not defending that, but at least shut up. Don't piss in my face and tell me it's raining. Don't feed me a bowl of dog shit and tell me it's chocolate ice cream. I mean, seriously. Seriously. But it's a fabulous spectacle in self-immolation, in self-harm by the Trump administration. But Trump, under the stress of all the indictments, Trump under the stress of the insane work ethic he had, is not the same Trump of years ago. In ways, he's more hardcore and better, but in ways, that's also dangerous because he now says, I don't even listen to advisors. I do whatever my instincts tell me. And sometimes that's right. But other times it's not. And I talk to people that talk to Trump every day, and they say, listen, nobody disagrees with him now. He starts screaming at him. And you've never seen Trump scream at people, okay? But you talk to him on the phone or in person, so it's a different guy. He's not a fake, you know, the nice little grandpa, oh, you know, little friendly voice. Not like that behind the scenes. I mean, he'll sit there totally quiet for like an hour. People are talking, and then he'll start. But you see him a few times, and he go, oh, sorry, my voice is hoarse. I just had to scream at a bunch of people that are idiots. And they caught him on tape over the weekend, you know, through a window screaming at Hegseth. So, I mean, it's he is an old man. He's very grumpy. I mean, I'm 52 and I'm way meaner and grumpier than I was, you know, when I was 30. I mean, and I'm actually kind of scared. I'm like, my God, when I hit 79, if I'm still around, I'm going to be a gigantic asshole. So I'm surprised my grandpas were so nice now knowing what I'm like already. I mean, so I'm not even defending him. I'm just saying the Russians and the Chinese, though, are taking notice. You know, one silver lining of this insanity is they know, and they don't, I'm telling them, but they do. Trump is not playing around, okay? And that's a good thing in ways, but also dangerous. I mean, he's a maniac at this point. He's still extremely intelligent, has a lot of knowledge, believes he's doing the right thing, but I would not bluff Donald Trump. I would not play chicken with Donald Trump. I'm just telling you right now. And that's what's so dangerous about it. In a way, it's good because he's strong, but like too strong. And there are a lot of people manipulating that and saying, yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's a great idea. So as he said yesterday, find the clip again. We had it. You showed it to me. I never played it. But it's in the transcripts. It's all over the news. You just pull up the transcripts. Trump, this war may last forever if it needs to. That's the quote. Wow. Forever. That doesn't sound like no long wars. That doesn't sound like, well, if we got to hit somebody, we're in, we're out. Yeah, it's also a truth post. United States munitions stockpiles have at the minimum an upper medium grade, never been higher or better. As we stated to me today, we have virtually unlimited supply of these munitions. Wars can be fought forever. And he said, we'll go as long as we need to. You know, 4 to 5 weeks is what I think, but we'll go as long as we need to. And I get the idea is, hey, don't think there's a timetable on this. And hey, we'll put boots on the ground if need be. That's so they don't know what the real plan is. But you've heard Lindsey Graham and others admit they don't have a plan except regime change as long as it takes like Syria 15 years. But I can tell you, because I already figured it out by doctrine statements and things, and I've talked to my sources, and they go, I'm not going to give you any answer to that, but yeah, you're dead on, Alex. And I'm like, let me guess. There's 10,000 troops and support and special forces and CIA and their cutouts, what, in the border area with Turkey and the border area of Syria into Kurdistan in Iran. They go, yeah. And let me guess, they're going to form the army, give them the weapons, anti-tank missiles, anti-aircraft, and if need be, sometime in the next few weeks, they're going to start moving south. And then when the Iranians form a send their military to get them, we're going to get better support. Alex, you really don't need to ask me questions. I think you already got to figure it out. So, yeah, because I already know doctrine. So, it's on, it's on, it's on, it's on, it's on, it's on. And when Trump talks about maybe all that boots on the ground, he means infantry. He means the Marines. He means conventional warfare, tanks, helicopters, jets, howitzers, JDAMs, javelins. And the Iranians are very competent fighters. In fact, they're absolutely the worst to face of all the Muslim groups. The most professional, the most suicidal. And we go in there. I have no doubt the Marines and the Army are going to kick their ass, but we're going to have a lot of dead people. And I mean a lot. The estimate by the Pentagon, the 7-year Iran-Iraq war that the U.S. backed with weapons, CIA, telemetry, satellites, everything, basically ran it, killed about 1 million Iraqis and 2 million Iranians. 2 million Iranians. And their answer is continue to kill whoever the new leader is. Just keep killing the generals, killing the leadership, kill, 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 kill. And then finally they're going to find some leaders that are going to work with them. You know what will happen if some leader says, I'm going to make a deal. The people under them will shoot them in the head. You can say what you want about the Iranian cult, Islamic cult, but at least they stand for something. And they're in a total fortress mentality. And these guys have been raised since they're children to die. And now everything their grandpas and their daddies told them is coming true. Now, there's so much to get to here. Let's go to Nick Fuentes. Two clips of him on his own show after he was on yesterday. And this is something we really need to have sink in here. Those of us on the front lines of this fight, we're not trying to toot our horn. We're just telling you, recognize what we're doing. A Tommy Robinson, a Donald Trump, an Alex Jones, Nick Fuentes. We have people coming to our houses to kill us. We get put in prison. We get sued. We get demonized. We get lied about. Our families get attacked. And that's why Trump starting to give in and bend and do things that aren't what he said he would do, that aren't America first, is extremely painful, because I need Trump to succeed. All I have been is persecuted for supporting Trump. I've told you about this. I had them before the Democrats sued me in 2017 meet with me repeatedly off record to offer me massive amounts of money to join them. It got down to $50 million a year, just me personally, if I'd sell out. And, of course, I told him, go pound sand. So I got the lawsuits, the attacks, everything you saw. So, see, I won't sell out against America first. And if I start seeing Trump sell out to whatever, I'm not going along with it. You can put a gun to my head, it's not happening. But I love the idiot, neocon, Johnny-come-lately Trump supporters that, like, if you don't support whatever Susie Wiles wants or whatever the new war is, you're not a patriot. You're the fake MAGA. Dude, I'm not MAGA. I'm 1776 worldwide. I'm a populist American. Make America great again. How about make America free again? So MAGA's great, but I'm not MAGA. And I've told you that for 7, 8, 9 years. I am 1776. I am 1776. Like Trump said, I am peace. Fauci said, I am science. Well, I identify as 1776. Israel now says they're going to kill the Ayatollah Khomeini's successor, his son, unequivocal target for elimination, as his son emerges as front runner to replace him. They just blew up the council meeting yesterday trying to elect him. So I do what I do from a moral position of believing it is the right thing to do. But people are like, oh, you don't like Trump, so you were wrong all these years. I saw David Icke saying that. No, I was right. I'm proud I supported Trump for 10 years and got persecuted. We ended the carbon taxes. We controlled the border. We've got all this globalism's being repudiated and falling apart. And then if Trump at the end starts going sideways, it's like you got a lawnmower you mow the yard with for 10 years, and then one day the engine blows and it's cheaper just to get a new one than to replace the motor. You're like sad about the lawnmower that the engine blew up, but you just put it out at the curb. You know, when they do the trash pickup once a year for, you know, appliances and stuff, and you put the old refrigerator out there and the old lawnmower, and, you know, you were a good lawnmower, bye-bye. It's like, I'm not mad that I had the lawnmower and cut the grass and did all this, and now the lawnmower's broken. Right now, black smoke's coming out of the lawnmower, and it's sputtering, and having it's on fire, so I think this lawnmower's probably done. But I'm very proud of the, you know, thousands of times I cut the yard with it. It was a good lawnmower. Very proud of picking Trump, supporting Trump, backing Trump, being persecuted for him. We got a lot done. He was like a sword that we stabbed the globalists with. And, you know, and now the sword is broken. Or maybe it is. Maybe we can fix it. I don't know. But I see things in a compendium. I'm a consistent person. I am a patient person. That's how you really build things. And then Nick also makes the point, it's true. We can't kick illegal alien Somalis out of the country, but we can go fight a million-man army. It's insane. But here's Nick talking about the persecution and how those of us on the front lines are in a different category and cannot do it without your support. Here it is.
If you missed it, I appeared on Alex Jones this afternoon. We had a very emotional show. This is a very emotional time, and we had a very emotional show. I love Alex. I went on there at about 1 o'clock and we got into this Iran war, and it was it's very serious. And look, people like him and I, we have been pushed to the limit. We have been a part of this struggle and it has killed us. I mean, it is literally, figuratively, hopefully not literally, it has killed us. And I don't think people realize that. I don't think people realize how much the two of us have sacrificed, and in some ways him more than me, but it is absolutely destructive. And by that I mean We're engaged in this political struggle. We're in this power struggle with the powerful elites of the United States. And in our quest to tell the truth and to fight the good fight, they just put the screws in you every way. Financial, digital, social, professional, you name it. I mean, they are really grinding us to dust. And we've been fighting this fight for a long time. And so for us, it's, you gotta understand, it's a little bit different than all of you that were red-pilled after the pandemic, or people that have been working jobs and living normal lives. It's a little bit different for him and I. We gave our lives to this. We sacrificed so much. And now to see Donald Trump, he's the one that's going to deliver us into a war with Iran. That's why I keep saying it's just surreal, and not in a good way, in a deeply disturbing, unsettling way. And you try to keep it positive and you try to keep the energy up, but it's heartbreaking. It's very sad that this is happening. And it's scary. I get why people are anxious. It seems that the world is destabilizing and coming apart. And these good old days that we've been living in for most of recent memory, it seems like that's all coming to an end domestically, internationally. And you just wonder what that portends for the future. So, you know, we had the show and I could tell he was a little worked up about it because I've been very critical of Trump. I like to think I've been very sober about all of it and hypercritical. And obviously, I think that Alex was a lot more pro-Trump. I think that, I don't know what you want to call that, if that's optimism or maybe just a different perspective, but he really believed in Trump and really believed that in 2024, Trump was going to deliver the victory in all this. And I could tell Trump is losing him. Trump is losing Alex Jones. He's losing everybody. And I see it in my replies. I've been posting about this on Twitter, not as much as I should, I guess. But in all my replies, it's all people saying, I voted for Trump three times. I voted for Trump twice, three times. I'm a Christian. I'm a conservative. But I'm not ever voting again for a Republican. And I get it.
And I understand. I get it. Nick has the right to say that. But don't penalize. We're not going to get to vote for Trump again. But for the good Republican candidates, absolutely vote and get others to vote because the Democrats are 100 times worse. I get his point. I'm not saying he's bad to say it, but no, that's not going to put pressure on the Republicans to get better, not voting for him. That's what the neocons are counting on. All right, Tommy Robinson for an hour and a half. And we're going to give him some Texas barbecue that's on the way. In studio, ladies and gentlemen, hour number 2, 3, and 4 straight ahead. You are the Paul Revere's. Share the live feeds at Rumble at The Alex Jones Show. Share it at X at Real Alex Jones. And follow us on the network backup at AJN Live, The Alex Jones Network. You are the Paul Revere's. And support us on the shopping cart with all the great supplements and more at TheAlexJonesStore.com. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I shut out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, with the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com. I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling 3 emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. And I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and 2 others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
It doesn't matter. We all are abiding by the same rules.
The mainstream media's gaslighting machine, C-SPAN's fake neutrality, and the Wall Street Journal's establishment polished propaganda is in overdrive, framing the latest Epstein file drops and Clinton depositions as boring non-stories to make millions of awake Americans feel like the crazy ones.
So what did we learn about the relationship of the Clintons to Jeffrey Epstein?
Fairly limited information. She was adamant that she really had no relationship with Jeffrey Epstein at all. And I think her posture was just, why am I here?
I mean, I expected a lot of interesting questions today, but Pizzagate was not on my list.
Pizzagate. And this is where the body language gets fascinating. Pay close attention to what her right hand does before she even starts answering.
Pizzagate was totally made up. It was an outrageous allegation that ended up hurting a number of people. That caused a deranged young man to show up with his assault rifle and shoot up a local pizzeria.
Did you catch it? Her right hand goes straight to her chin, covering her neck. That is a classic pacifying gesture. She is protecting her most vulnerable area. And for someone about to debunk a conspiracy she calls totally bogus, that is a remarkably defensive posture. And she only drops the hand when she mentions the young man with the rifle, and that's the moment she felt she was on solid ground. Facts that she could point to.
Are you aware of any files that were on Anthony Weiner's laptop in a folder that was titled insurance, life insurance, with a zip file titled frazzled.
Is this within the scope, Mr. Chairman?
Bill Clinton's name hits nearly 1,200 times in the DOJ release. Lolita Express flights, hot tub pics with redacted mystery women, Ghislaine Maxwell selfies, birthday notes. Bill was just being the Bill we all know.
You didn't have any feelings about young women massaging your husband.
I am not going to offer opinions or speculation about anything that I have no context for and was not there.
Of course, he plays the wistful old statesman in his narcissistic disorder testimony, reminiscing about cordial chats and Clinton Foundation trips while swearing he saw nothing wrong after ditching Epstein post-2008. Hillary clocks in at over 800 mentions, yet claims zero memory of ever meeting the guy, never flying on his plane or stepping on his island, pure stonewalling. As she deflects to Trump and dodges the 2015 Lutnick fundraiser email that invited Epstein despite supposed severed ties.
You asked me.
I have met with Epstein survivors. I'm a survivor myself. You have emails. You denied that Jeffrey Epstein, that you tried to get Jeffrey Epstein to give money to you.
I did not.
Howard Lutnick was using
you have an email with me asking Jeffrey Epstein for money.
I have an email from Howard Lutnick sending it to Jeffrey Epstein and his people to raise money for you.
I don't know about
it.
Not to mention Ghislaine being a plus one at her daughter's exclusive wedding.
When the wedding occurred, she was with Ted White. And she was for several more years. We did not know when Epstein was arrested that she was still involved with him. I think that clears a lot of this up. We didn't know.
We don't know what they have. We don't know if the videotapes that were in these storage lockers were ever recovered. We don't know when that hacking took place, what was removed from the FBI files and documents. So there's a lot that we don't know, but what we do know is that this man was capable of blackmail, of compromise, of Prince Andrew, of Bill Clinton, of Bill Gates, the Prime Minister of Norway. We're finding out now may have been a target of blackmail. So he had tentacles all over the world. He was working with other countries, Russia, China, Iran, Israel. Who knows what he told these individuals?
What everyday people actually saw was two serial liars while the Epstein avalanche finally catches up with their tarnished legacy. But the American people now have the house surrounded, and the thieves are still refusing to come out with their hands up. John Bount reporting for InfoWars.
We're engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible highest quality concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high quality Shilajit, either or you choose, absolutely free with our creatine. The Alex Jones Store.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
I've been on there 32 years in April, and I was never into Hollywood, never really into sports icons and stuff. I mean, I liked football and basketball and stuff, but I never got giddy when I, you know, ran into a Michael Jordan or somebody, which I did. And then Rick Linklater's not really a Hollywood guy, but he's a big director. He was a fan by 2000, put me in some of his movies, Keanu Reeves, Winona Ryder, you know, all those people, Woody Harrelson, Martin Downey Jr. And they would invite me out to L.A., and I went to some, and I did voiceovers for video games and insurance companies, and Hollywood tried to get me on board with them. But as soon as they went, hey, Obama's in now, you need to leave him alone, these Hollywood producers, I said, I'm done. And I never really went back to Los Angeles. I refused their parties, their events. They were trying to buy me off, put me in movies. And the reason I say that is most people sell out for fame. I don't care about Hollywood. In fact, now I revile it. It's collapsed. I don't get giddy or butterflies around, I mean, I've been at parties, you know, Brad Pitt, you name it. Back then, 15 years ago, I could care less. But when I get around people like Tommy Robinson, who are champions, and I'm not kissing your ass, but it's true. People that have been put in solitary confinement, tortured, their families attacked, through hell, demonized, who first exposed the Muslim grooming gangs, 250,000 girls as young as 7 raped, some killed and cut up and turned into kebabs. He first exposed it, later confirmed, mainstream news put it up. They kidnap little girls. The fathers find out, try to go save their 8-9-year-olds. The police arrest them. Good cops do their job. They fire them. They kill people because the Pakistanis, pedophilia is like their main thing. They were providing kids for the elites. This guy, going back to what, 2009, I want you to talk about yourself here, because you never do this. You're literally patient zero. You're not just Paul Revere ringing the alarm. You saw this in your town. You witnessed it with your family. You stood up to them. They attacked you. Countless videos of these people ganging up on you, Antifa Muslims. And there you are like a lion taking on 10 people, beating the living shit out of them. Then they arrest you for defending yourself. I mean, you're a goddamn hero. Excuse my French. But, you know, it's just amazing. I think we should start at the beginning about yourself and then what it's like to see the vindication now. And about a year and a half ago, whenever it was, they were going to throw you back in prison again in solitary confinement. They stick you in the Muslim wing because you refused to shut up and you taped them secretly in court admitting that everything you said was true about the Muslim grooming gangs. That's now all confirmed. And then I said, don't go back, Tommy. Don't go back. You were in the Caribbean. And you said, no, I'm innocent. I don't care if I'm a martyr. You went back and were put in solitary confinement again for however year or whatever. I mean, I saw you when you came out one time after a couple of years in it. You'd lost, you know, 20 stones or whatever it is. And you could see that 1,000-yard stare of like our airmen that we get shot down and, you know, kept 10 years in Vietnam being tortured. I could see it. And you admitted it almost broke you mentally, but you're stronger than ever. I mean, you have literally fought and bled and as a soldier in the fight for the West. I mean, I just, you're everything I admire. You're an example to everybody else. Our heroes should not be basketball players and soccer players, and they should not be that. It should be men and women that stand up for humanity and go through hell and cannot be bought and controlled and then inspire people. And you have done that. Millions hit the street now. This is so exciting. Elon Musk champions you. It is incredible. Tommy Robinson.
What an introduction, man.
It's true, though. Hey, it ain't, it's no brag when it's fact.
I'm not used to that, Alex, so thank you very much. I'm used to getting condemned.
No, you're used to chicken shit fake conservatives running you down, trying to steal what you and others have built.
Yeah.
But I'm going to shut up. Look at the camera. You're in charge now. Tell us about Tommy Robinson. Start at the beginning.
I was born in Luton Town, a town that's 30 miles north of London. When I was born, there was one mosque that's now 45. I come to America in 2011 to give a speech called A Warning to America. The reason being is that I wish someone come to my town 30 to 40 years ago and told me what was going to happen, how it's going to happen, how they're going to succumb to them, how they take over, how they operate, the way the politicians bend to them, the way the police bend to them. I wish someone warned us. So I come with that warning, which is what I'm bringing now. I'm not talking about what I read in the book. I'm talking about my life experience. I'm talking about seeing my town decay, the experiencing of rape gangs. So very early on, I realized growing up in Luton, there was something very different about the Pakistani community. It was like oil and water. You were mixing two things that didn't mix. And Luton is a town full of migrants or sons of migrants. My mum was an Irish migrant. Many of my friends are St. Lucian, Bulgarian, Italian, Jamaican. We've all come from backgrounds of migration. But per se, it works. It works okay. Integrated, assimilated, each of the communities, everyone bonds together. But there was one community that didn't. It was the Islamic community. You're going to experience this, America. You need to understand what your borders have been open to. You had Hispanic, you had Mexican immigration, which I know caused its problems in the numbers they come in with criminality, with things like this. But what Joe Biden's opened your country to, you have...
Yeah, Mexicans are like angels compared to Muslims.
I wish we had them. I remember I kept saying, give us Mexicans, right? If you're going to flood our country, don't flood it with Islamic immigration. It's a whole different ball game. So your border has been open to Eritreans, Pakistanis, Syrians, Iraqis, all of these different Somalis, and there's no integration coming or assimilation. There's domination coming. And
it's their book. It's their plan.
It's their plan. And I didn't understand their plan. Do you know when I understand it, Alex? So I grew up thinking Pakistan is very different. You have a fight of one, you've declared war on the whole tribe. They act differently. They're aggressive. They're hostile. They're violent towards us. They don't like us. Something's very different. And I just thought it was Pakistanis, if I'm honest, growing up as a child. It was only when I spent 22 weeks in solitary confinement that a Muslim outreach organization sent me in the Quran.
Yeah, but let's go back to the tanning salon you own and them trying to recruit your family and stuff.
Yeah.
Start at the beginning. You were like the first guy to blow the whistle. They were running rape gangs.
Yeah, so yeah, the first time I mentioned this was in 2004. And it was after the Beslem school massacre. Do you remember the Beslem school massacre?
Yes.
If you don't remember it, that basically, and this is coming to Europe, it's going to happen, maybe come to America. They're going to take over a school and they're going to massacre children. That's what they're going to do. That's what they've done in Beslem. Jihadists took over a school and Russian families were outside the school and their children are inside the school. I can still see it now. I can visually see it. Mothers were dropping to their knees as they were hearing their children being butchered in the school. Now, I watched that and saw that it wasn't one man that done this. So this wasn't a crazy individual. This was a large group of men that shared an ideology. Now, when I saw that, I thought, I need to know that ideology. I need to understand, where's that come from? Where's that hatred and where's that poison come from that makes them justified in this attack? That was the moment. Most of us have a moment that opened your eyes. Once you open your eyes, you all know this. Alex, you know this. You can't close them. Once you understand the danger and the future of what's going to happen, you can't close them.
It clicks.
It clicks. It clicks. And even if you want to close them, you can't. How can you? How can you when I understand what's coming? So I looked at this group, and then 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, I see a group of Muslims in a chicken shop in my town getting interviewed online. This is when I was watching a video, and they said that an attack like that would be justified in England. Now, for me, I looked at those men. I said, I want to know who they are. What is this group? That's when I understood Al-Mujahideen. Al-Mujahideen, and now a prescribed...
You saw men in your town supporting murdering elementary students.
It's justified. Now, so you understand as well, I never got a chance to talk about my upbringing when I started the English Defence League, which is a street protest movement. I got my first chance in 2014 in Oxford University, and I took people through my journey. Do you know, after September 11th, do you know what we had in my shops, my local shops? And I show the pictures of this. They put banners up and posters up of the magnificent 19. They celebrated in my town centre. They celebrated in the colleges. The hatred and the celebration for the attack against America, I watched in my hometown. So I understood the aggression, the violence from this group. But when I started looking at Al-Mujahideen and it come together, the street level jihad, which was by gangs and Pakistanis using drugs as weapons, kidnapping our daughters. My cousin was 13 or 14 years old. She woke up naked in a house being raped by lots of men with big beards. She run naked from the house. Now, the police, I can remember the family discussions. I can remember the turmoil within the family. The police done nothing. Now, this is going to sound so far-fetched to you. No one believed me when I started talking about this on the streets. No one believed me. I sat on chat shows and I got condemned. I got laughed at, belittled. And now every single thing that I said has been proven as correct. But I tried talking about it. They call you racist. They call you an extremist. But Al-Mujahideen were the terrorist organization. I started looking into them. I found that their head office.
By the way, slow down. This is important. You told us on my show like 15 years ago, but I haven't heard you tell it since. How did they get her? Because we now know they drug drinks, they grab girls, they hit them over the head. Does she even know how she woke up being gang raped?
Well, what they call now is grooming. They call it grooming. It's not grooming, it's a rape jihad. Yeah, it's happening in every country across Europe, and it's coming here. It's already here. Your borders have been open. The enclaves are being set up. The money's coming in. They're building entire enclaves. Those enclaves, the men will come out, they'll kidnap. And how it starts...
And by the way, they said on Palestinian TV... Their imams, they say, they're infidels. We grab their daughters, make them sex slaves, put them in her harems, and then we sell them as sex slaves. That's how they make their money. Millions of Europeans were kidnapped by Muslims in the last 1,400 years and shipped all over the world. This is their business.
Muhammad did it. So it's sexual slavery. Four times in the Quran, it says very clearly, the outside their four wives, they can take whatever the right arm possesses, the arm of the sword, and they can take them as war booty. Actually, one of the verses actually says they're blameless for doing it. So it's justified. When Boko Haram kidnapped 200 Nigerians, they told you very clearly, the leader of Boko Haram stood on TV and said, Muhammad and Allah have commanded us to do this. When ISIS took the Yazidi girls, you can look at any conflict anywhere in the world, that's what they do. And
they would rape girls as young as five to death.
That's what they're doing now. They're doing it now in my country.
So back to your cousin. She wakes up being gang raped by Pakistanis.
So what happens is it's a process, and it's happening here. It's a process where young Pakistanis or young Muslim Arabs who drive nice cars because they're selling drugs. They have money. They have things. They get the young girls from 11 or 12. They start befriending them. They start giving them cigarettes. They start giving them alcohol. And it could be a 6-month process. It could be a 12-month process. They get the girl into a position where she falls in love. She falls in love with an older man, and the older man is treating her. And then it's a slope. And this is the identical process. I can tell you. So a girl that I know got involved in this. And then I sat with her friend and she said, have you heard about Caroline? I said, don't tell me. And I went through every process of what they done. And she said, how do you know? And this process starts with money, starts with wealth. They buy the girls trainers. They buy them a new phone. They give them cigarettes. They give them alcohol. Most of the Muslims run businesses and they run all the taxis, as they do here, because I've seen it when I've been to some of your cities. They run all the taxis. The taxis act as a network to ferry these girls from one place.
And the police protect them.
Everyone protects them. Not just the police, the government. A total conspiracy of silence. Religious leaders, political leaders, police leaders, all of them. Every institution that was formed to protect kids fails them, as has done here. As you've already seen with the 65,000 phone calls coming into a hotline that Joe Biden set up for missing children or trafficked children, and no one's there answering the phone. They don't care. It's a business. It's a business. And what we realise in the UK is that the government or the politicians and political power, they care about power. They don't give a shit if our daughters are being raped. They actually don't
care. And like you said, Epstein's important, but overall a distraction compared to something this big, cut and dry.
Well, look, yeah, everything. It's all interlinked. All of this.
Same deal.
It's the same deal. It's the same deal. The Prophet Muhammad, like, Epstein's probably a teddy bear compared to the Prophet Muhammad when you look at what he did. Yeah. So this is on a worldwide scale. It's enslaved entire populations, as we've seen. Entire populations, but
they estimate 2 million Spanish women were taken out by the Moors and shipped worldwide.
And the thing is, this is nothing. We can look at history and learn and understand the ideology. If you don't understand why they're doing it, You're never going to stop it. Now, it's one thing. We've got somewhere. We started talking about Muslim grooming gangs. Everyone said we were lying. Everyone condemned us. We've been proven right. They called them Asian grooming gangs to take the blame away from the Muslims. We've got now where they're calling them Muslim grooming gangs. But then the question you're not allowed to ask is, why are they doing it? Why a Muslim population imported into our nation? The Sikhs aren't doing it. The Hindus aren't doing it. The Jews aren't doing it. No other community is doing it. The figures speak for themselves. Muslim men make up 3% of the British population. They're responsible for 90% of the convictions for these sorts of rapes. Now, this is in Britain. And 30% of the men convicted are called Muhammad. Why? That's the question you have to answer. Why? Why? And then no one wants to ask the question or answer the question. I know why. I've looked into why. I've done presentations on why. I've looked at the scripture. I've listened to what the men say. A Somali man who's convicted, they're doing it here in America. A Somali man who was convicted said it was his religious right to do it. He's allowed to do it. Yeah. All of the words they quote are literally.
Oh, they get interviewed all the time and admit they do it. They say we're allowed to.
Yeah, we're allowed to.
Well, they're allowed
to. We have imams in mosques telling their followers they can do it. You have imams justifying it in the United States of America. We imams across the globe. You know, in Holland, they call it Loverboy. They call it Loverboy. Holland actually created a video in 2007 trying to educate, and Britain wouldn't allow that video to be showed to.
Well, what about in Wales and stuff, and also in Europe, the Germans run ads showing 14-year-old girls saying, come to Germany, come to Wales, we want to be your friend. The liberals have little girls do ads to entice the Muslims to come.
They've done Valentine's cards. The schools organise Valentine's cards from the children to be given to the migrants, and like love letters, telling them welcome to the country.
And they put a jibs on them, folks. We have video of all this. It's not a joke.
No, seriously. And you have to understand where these men are coming from and what the policies are. Where, say, like for example, we've had a big flood of Sudanese migrants into our country. So in Sudan, you can marry at 11. In Sudan, you can marry.
I'm getting at, Tommy, briefly on this, then back to your story. But this is the key to it all, because what happened to you is ground zero, and you're a time traveler. It's hitting us now. You've been there. You can give us the map how to stop it, because it's a blueprint they've got, which is their weakness. It's also their strength. That the liberals, the left, opening the door in Austin, in Round Rock, they caught them, the schools, bringing in Muslims without telling the parents to indoctrinate them and have them wear hijabs and give them Qurans outside the parents knowing. I mean, obviously the Muslims are paying for this. I mean, this is the same stuff you have in all over Europe. They are literally indoctrinating.
From the age of 6, it's national curriculum. Every single school child has to visit the mosque. Every single school child has to visit the mosque.
So why are the liberal Western governments allied with Islam?
Why? Well, we see why they allied in Iran before the Islamic Revolution. We saw what they've done in Lebanon. They come together, as they see, as the greatest power and the greatest weapon together to overthrow the system. They want to overthrow democracy. They want to bring it down. They want to smash the system and start again.
So Islam's a sword of the globalists.
In the famous words of the great Charlie Kirk, Islam's being used as a weapon. It's been brought in here as a weapon to destroy the system and to start again. The left should learn, the communists should learn. The first people they killed in Iran when they had the Islamic Revolution was the people who allied with them. It was the left. Yeah, the same happened in Lebanon. The same will happen here. They're using each other. They don't like each other. They're using each other. That's the reality. The funding comes together. They operate together. It's all organized and planned.
Well, there's famous videos of a Muslim march and the gay pride people show up and say, we love you. And the Muslim goes, no, I'm your enemy, and punches them in the face.
Yeah, you're next. And there's first come Saturday, then come Sunday, which is one of their sayings. First the Jews, then the Christians. That's their sayings. That's literally how they run. And that's their global thing. But on the grooming issue, so parents understand, because this is, there should be seminars, there should be entire populations educated a film was created in 2007 in Holland to try and educate the Dutch population on the way the Moroccans, because in Holland it's Moroccans, in the UK it's Pakistanis, in France it's the Algerians, it's the Muslims, yeah? So to educate them on how they groom the girl, because it's a slow process, and then what they do is, their biggest weapon, is they tell the girl, your parents are treating you like a child, you're a big girl, they cause a divide within the family. And many girls then start getting drunk, coming home drunk, then they start going missing, then they start taking drugs. And slowly it's a process. They get them hooked on drugs, so they've got them where they want them. And once they're hooked on drugs, at some point, one night, 6 men rape them. And they video it. They video it, so they use Sikh girls, they video it to use as blackmail against the girl to keep her trapped. But then other girls, when the man gets her fall in love, the man will make up lies and say, I'm in trouble. I'm in real trouble. I need you to help me. People are after me. I need you to have sex with this man. That's how it might start. Then they go into this path of just total prostitution. And some of them are 12, 13. And it's not about sexual gratification, just so you can get your head around what these men are doing and why they're doing it. It's about total domination and destruction.
They say in the Quran, it's the power over the infidel that we have your children.
Yes, right.
I can play the Palestinian TV where they go, it's this woman, like, we will rape their women, we will rape their children, we will own them, we will dominate them, they are scum, we will destroy them.
Well, I always say, don't listen to what I say. You don't need to listen to what I say. Listen to what they're saying. Don't listen to what I say, America, of what's coming here. Listen to what they're saying in your mosques. Listen to what he said in the, literally after the New York mayor, he said we're about inciting murder against the infidels, sharing the same platform as the mayor of New York, who was voted in by all these liberal morons. It's insanity. But don't listen to what I say. They're quite openly telling you they're going to take over your country. Quite openly telling you they're not here to integrate or assimilate. They're here to dominate. They quite openly tell you.
Is that why they're so arrogant?
They're arrogant because I think they know that they're winning. They're arrogant because they believe they're taking over, and they don't just believe they're taking over, they are taking over. Look, we have 1,000 years of English history, 1,000 years of Christian culture, and it's been given away in 60 years by weak cowards. It's been given away. And an entire nation has been paralyzed through fear of being called a racist or an extremist. It's why we're going to get on to talk about Iran. But I look at what's going on in Iran, and I look at, you know, after January 6th.
No, so we'll hit all that, yeah. But I interrupt you. You have all the time you need. I interrupt you back into your start, but now.
So when my cousin went missing, when my cousin went missing for days, and then the police, you ring the police, they just say she's a drug addict. It's like, she's a 13 or 14 year old child who they've got addicted to heroin. In the end, she'd climb out the window to get back to them for her fix of drugs, and then she's gone, and then they take them. And this is happening to parents in every town and city across
the world. What ended up happening to her?
She wears a full niqab now, and no one's, her family haven't seen her, so who knows?
Oh, she's under their full control.
Yeah, she had 6 babies. Who knows?
So they literally kidnapped your family?
No, they take them. They're gone. Do you know what they do? So with this other girl that I spoke about, and I saw her mum on New Year's Eve, and she just broke down crying. I was at a Christmas event. She just burst out crying. And she said his parents, so that when they get the girl, because it's rewarded as well.
And once they're done, they make them have a bunch of babies, and they make them work, and the men don't work, and the women don't work.
It's a celebration. They celebrate it.
Women are slaves, and so the CIA feminist movement loves it.
My local imam's got 14 children with 3 wives. All in houses we're paying for. We pay for all the kids. And to them, do you know, being reliant on the state, having a benefit system that pays them, that's a totally halal life. It's great. So all these Muslims being bought in, you want to succeed. You want to use capitalism. You want to rise up. You want to benefit. You want to do better. They're quite happy. It's a really halal life. We'll go mosque 5 times a day. You pay us. And they're laughing at us because we are paying them. We're paying for everything. We're paying for all the benefits. Just like you've seen.
Well, they call that the tax. They say we already have the Brits paying our tax.
Yeah, we pay. It's a special tax.
Oh, jizya, or what is it?
Jizya. You convert. So there's 3 options from Islam. You convert, you pay the jizya, or you die. And that's the last things Muhammad said in his life. That's it. So you convert, you pay the jizya, or you die. So you have 3 options. You convert. The jizya is a special tax that non-Muslims pay to Muslims. Under the times of Muhammad, non-Muslims had to pay a special tax. If they pay that tax, which subjugates them as second-class citizens within the Muslim community, then they can live. But they have to keep paying for their safety. It's essentially what Barack Obama done with Iran. He sent them billions of pounds. Yeah, we'll give you money. You just stay over there and stop. You know what I mean? It's a weakness, it's a cowardice. Like the Barbary War, it's the same. And to most people who don't understand Islam, you have to understand it. You have to understand Muhammad. You have to understand who he was. Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Muhammad cut their heads off. He beheaded 600 people in one day. That's not my opinion.
And what's crazy is they're so arrogant. You can walk to any Muslim, they'll admit it to you. Here, yeah, we're getting your daughters. Yeah, we're taking it over. Screw you. He's just some lazy retard on welfare.
No, but they are. He's speaking the truth. That's what they're doing. They're taking over. You think London. London's 33% English now. You think Germany. You think Berlin. Now, America's at a crossroads. You have an option. You have a total option here. You've got brave congressmen speaking out. I've seen some of them. I've spoke to some of them. I've seen some of their primaries last night. I saw the 95% vote from Texans against Sharia. That vote against Sharia, it's like you put out one fire and another 500 start. You try and stop one mosque, another 500 planning applications go in. So it needs to come from the top, from your government, need to address this issue of Sharia, of Islam, of Islamic immigration. You need to end Islamic immigration. It's simple as that. Immigration is supposed to benefit the United States of America. It's not going to benefit you.
So let me ask you this when we come back. Can Europe and the UK be saved?
Yes, and it will.
What do you want to hit when we come back? You're going to have the floor. You're going to host. I want you to cover it all.
I want to cover the rape because it's the biggest and darkest stain on British history.
They're saying you said years ago, 250,000 at least.
That's more. It's much more. And I'll go into the numbers on that. Say for example, I've done a 5-part series called The Rape of Britain. Where I looked at a certain town called Telford, and I went into Telford and I spent 12 to 18 months in this small town. And the reason I chose Telford is because Telford has a 1.7.
Talk about it when we come back, because I don't know what it's at now, but it had like 1 million views. They put you in prison for it. Was it like 100 million views now?
It went to 167 million views, that documentary.
Last time I, okay,
thanks,
wow.
Thanks to Elon Musk.
Yeah. And how long did you have to sit in prison last time for this?
I spent 7 months on surgery.
7 months in prison to show you what they do.
I got out in May.
Incredible. We'll be right back with Tommy Robinson.
We're engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified, best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high-quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose absolutely free with our creatine. TheAlexJonesStore.com. The widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I shut out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, with the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
I have some very exciting news. Optimal Human is hands down the best green superfood, super nutrient concentrate I've ever had. The folks at Bigly have had this out for years, and it's their star product, and it became a bestseller very quickly because people, when they got it, loved it so much. If I told you everything that's in it and how concentrated it is, it would take an hour. This has the kitchen sink and then some in it. If you're missing any of the trace, not just the stuff they say is essential, but all the other trace elements and vitamins and prebiotic and probiotics, it's got everything in it. And again, these are all concentrated, and it's got a bunch of stuff for healthy energy in it too. So folks absolutely love Optimal Human, and it works synergistically with the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the Ultimate Turmeric, and the Methylene Blue. We've been sold out of this. It came in, and I finally got it a couple days ago, and man, is it awesome. It is a game changer. If you haven't gotten it, you are really missing out at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And so it never sells out. Be sure to become a subscriber and get special discounts when you do that.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. From the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
I
used to be
such a sweet, sweet a ribeye, exactly. Tommy Robinson's got a church tonight, I think, with Ken Paxton or his family. But tomorrow I'm taking him out to a steakhouse. We won't say where. Nice ribeye. But we got you some great Texas barbecue coming. What a hero. Just amazing. An example for us all. Now, I didn't put you up to this. Well, but you have to do this to talk about it. But you told me, you said, man, because I heard, I was here today working and you were already on the show. And they said, yeah, Tommy was really tired. We gave him some methylene blue. That's what you told him. Hey, you got any caffeine or something? They gave you that. You were on your own. You said, wow, this methylene blue is insane. I said, well, you can take some more here on air. In fact, I haven't taken a couple of days. I need to take some. I take it about every 3 days, or it's too strong for me. Had you ever taken methylene blue before?
I hadn't, no. I asked for a double espresso. I got some tablets, some powder, not that powder, and some methylene blue.
Well, you're definitely bouncing off the wall. So what did you feel for the methylene blue?
That woke me up. It certainly woke me up. I don't even like double espresso, but I've been, yesterday I left at 4:30 in the morning on a flight from Northern Florida, ended up in Dallas, and I got to bed last night at 1:30, and then we left for here at 5:30. I was at 5:00, we were up. So I've just been running.
No, I saw your schedule. It's crazy.
I've been running like that each day. I want to make the most of my time here. I want to make the most of waking up America or having an opportunity to talk to America to understand what's happening here.
Well, this is a stimulant that's not a stimulant. It skips the oxidation process in the cells. RFK Jr. is totally into it. I wish I'd have taken it when people told me to, but we've got the best, and it is how we fund the operation, theoxygenstore.com. For all you on the fence, every guest I've given it to has had incredible energy. Now, I didn't ask you what it did. You said you felt energy. The first time I took it in 30 minutes, I felt like electricity tingling. Did you feel that?
Yeah, it woke me up. I was lying coming in here, and I was like, oh, man. I was exhausted. So I don't feel exhausted.
Well, here's the Tommy Robinson. How much did you take?
I don't know. I overdo everything I ever do, so I just put loads of it in.
Well, that's just one dropper. Let's do it.
Oh, that's just one drop. I've done about 10 on the last one.
Mm.
Yeah.
You're going to be pissing blue for a week.
Mm.
If you'd have told me I'd be drinking methylene blue with Tommy Robinson a month ago, I wouldn't have believed it. Hey, briefly, and then I'm going to give you the floor here to the modern stuff, the current stuff, how we fight it, what's going on. And we'll get into Iran, all of it. Well, we'll get into Iran in a moment, but just in general, go wherever you want to the point of how you woke up, what you did, what you went through, because that's so important to show how tyrannical the UK is. And you were really patient zero. Now they've taken it to 30-something thousand people a year being arrested for mild speech. Starmer out in the open being a total tyrant. They're talking about arresting Elon Musk. The EU is as well. You've really championed Elon Musk, and I have too. I mean, he's been the game changer.
He's been the game changer. I wouldn't be sat here if it wasn't for Elon Musk. There wouldn't be a revival. There's a Christian revival happening in Great Britain. There's a cultural revolution happening in Great Britain. None of these things would be happening without Elon Musk purchasing X. Now, lots of people thought he was mad when he spent $44 billion on X. And it is now a platform. It's the top news site in the world. We can bypass their misinformation, bypass their lies. People can come straight to the source. Rather than them telling you what I say, you can listen to what I say. Now, you weren't able to do that for at least 5 years. Same with Alex. We were totally deplatformed.
And how angry is Starmer? He says it when Musk routinely posts you. So you're getting 10 million views, 200 million views, 160 million views. I mean, that has got to drive them crazy.
Well, they're losing. They've lost control. When Donald Trump was elected, they realized that they'd lost control. They realized that his election come off the back of social media. They then took back control. Before Donald Trump, I'd say it was Modi. There was a populist revolution that was happening, and it would have continued to happen, but then they took back control. They took back control by influencing big tech. We've set up still now. I'm still banned on Facebook. I had a 1.2 million following in 2017. I had the most engaged Facebook page in Britain. I had more. You put my followers. I had more than all of the political parties put together. Yeah. So then they took back control. They made me a figure of hate. I've never been tried or contested or had a court case on hate or racism or extremism, anything like that. I just told the truth.
Yeah. 15 years ago, you were a Nazi, which you've always been pro-Israel.
Yeah, always. Yeah. I've always, from the start, been not just pro-Israel, but I'm from Luton Town. As I said, most of my mates growing up are not white. I've been able to see the difference. I can understand why someone in a totally white neighborhood or someone in another country can look at all the problems and just and put it on non-whites or problems like that when they see so much crime and they see all these things.
But we know in Europe everywhere, 80% of it's the Muslims.
It's Muslim. If there wasn't Islamic immigration, and I get condemned for saying this, if we didn't have Islamic immigration, I don't think there'd be any debate about immigration. I don't think there would.
Well, that's right. The white supremacists actually hate you because you report that fact.
Yeah, they despise me for it. And they despise me for it. And I say, look, our Unite the Kingdom movement, which we set up. So in 2024, I'll brief it. So I saw all the problems growing up, seen all the jihad. Luton was named by the CIA as the epicenter for terrorist activity. I know lads that went to fight for ISIS. Some of my mates converted to Islam. They're now in jail for terrorism. I've seen it all. I've seen the rapes. I've seen the girls go missing. I've seen the family problems. I've seen it all.
They hijabbed your cousin.
I know. Yeah, that's it. They're gone. Family members gone. Loved ones gone. Friends gone. Girls you grew up with gone. gone, taken, disappeared. Yeah. But what, so I, in 2009, I set up an organization called the English Defense League. Now, it was never going to be doctors or nurses that stood up to militant Islam or these gangs in our country. It was going to be young, willing men that are not going to submit. We're not going to be beaten in submission. So the English Defense League formed and young men from across the country joined it. And we hit towns and cities to highlight the issues that were being hidden, successfully hidden for decades.
And the government came down on you with both feet.
I expected the threats. I expected the terrorism. I expected it all. So there's six Muslims in jail now. They got caught with guns and bombs on the way to kill us. I've had 12, 13 official government warnings that my life's in danger. One, 2 weeks ago, ISIS have put me in this month's magazine to be killed. Al-Shabaab named me in 2011 to be killed. So I expected all of that because I knew very early on growing up in Luton, you can't talk about this issue. They're going to kill you. They're going to want to kill you. Yeah. I knew that. What I didn't expect was the full weight of the British state. I had no idea. I thought I lived in a country, the Magna Carta, I've got it tattooed up here. I thought I lived in a country that valued free speech, and I thought I had those freedoms until I started exercising them. And then I realised I live in a very different country. Now a totalitarian state has weapons, and it has tentacles, and the media, the judiciary, are all weapons of that state, and I come under full attack from all of them. Do you know what, Alex? This is the crazy thing. Since 2009, when I set up and I started highlighting these issues, my first raid from the police was within 3 weeks. So at that time, I was 25 years old. I had two successful companies, seven properties. I was a successful young man, making money, family, everything. And I realized that we can't hide from these problems. We can't run from these problems. Most people think, and we've created a generation of A, cowards and selfish people who think it's about them. So most people think, well, I can move there. It's not going to affect me. I've got a few quid. I'll move out there and the problems are confined to that town. It doesn't matter anymore.
But we stand on the shoulders of men before that stood up for our nations. And we, it's you building that new foundation.
Well, it's in our DNA to fight. It's in our DNA. That's what we have to remember who we are. I keep saying to Britain, remember who you are. Remember where we come from. Remember what created this nation.
The Romans couldn't conquer.
Remember the sacrifice. England, remember who, and we've forgot who we are and we've become weak. And if we reinstall that pride, and we lost our pride, there's been a combined attack on males, on family, on church. America, do not lose faith in your church, because that's what we did. We went away from it.
And they're all turning to mosque.
Not just turning to mosque, but it allows a vacuum, and that vacuum was filled by what? It's filled by Islam, it's filled by Marxism, communism, LGBTQ+. If you've got a population who don't know who they are, and from the breakdown through the education system, through the indoctrination, to create a population who are ashamed of who they are, who don't have fathers, who don't have a community, who don't have a church, who don't have a value system, then you can manipulate them.
By the way, I know you saw Oxford and Cambridge, and they're saying the Anglo-Saxons never existed. There are no Scots, Irish, or Brits, literally. And then they put non-whites in as the Vikings. I mean, this is insane. They're literally erasing your history.
This is a long process. And then if they can do that, if you have a population who don't know who they are, they're not going to fight. They're not going to fight.
They have no identity.
They have no identity. And they've tried. The European Union and the...
Well, the thing is, the Romans took over everything until a little north of London. They had to build Hadrian's Wall because they said, just give it up. They couldn't take it. Now you take people that never give up to, like, pussify. How did that happen?
Feminization of men, weakening, get everyone financed up to here, reliant on their jobs, reliant on their work. If they miss one payment, they lose everything. They've got everyone where they want them. And then cancel culture. You can't talk about this. There is no free speech. Arrest, fear, worry, concern. All of these things played a part. But it's pretty embarrassing because we hear about a nation of lions and they managed to paralyze that nation. It's the darkest stain on British history is this rape scandal where we as a nation... And a nation with pride would never have allowed this to happen. Men with pride would never have allowed this to happen. But we lost our pride, we lost our identity, we lost it all. We lost our culture is eroding, yeah? And so I formed an organization in 2009, we hit the streets. Yeah, we were boisterous, of course we were boisterous. No one was going to listen to us. So we hit the streets, we were loud, we were vocal. We brought issues to the forefront of the world's media. We were marching through streets, Muslim pedos off our streets, our daughters are not allow me. We made sure they couldn't ignore these issues. They'd ignored them for 30 years. If you draw a graph, and I take massive satisfaction in this, and if you draw a graph and show the arrest rates for Muslim paedophile gangs targeting young children, there's a straight line. English Defence League forms in 2009, 2010-11, the line literally goes straight up. That's when the arrest started. It's when they had to address the issue because 10,000 young Englishmen were on the streets demanding they address that issue. If not, we would be sitting here now. Those rapes would still be going on. They are still going on, but no one would know about these rapes.
Well, let's talk about the magnitude. You said it's more than a quarter million. Starmer literally was the head magistrate covering it up. It's on record. He is really scared right now. What's the real number?
So the magnitude is, I focus. You've heard of Rotherham, right? Heard of Rotherham? The reason you've heard
you got the floor.
I believe these towns are scapegoat towns. So I went to Telford and I spent 12 to 18 months in a small town called Telford. Telford has a 1.7% Muslim population. There's none there. Yeah. But I spent 12 to 18 months. I sat down with lots of girls, dozens of girls, and I sat down with them for 3 hours, 4 hours, sometimes three times, sometimes four times. My team dissected their interviews. We built a database. We put it all out. Now, we got 264 names from those survivors. We heard the crimes. We heard what they'd done. Some of the girls they were raping. Some of the girls they murdered their friends. Some of the girls they were torturing. Some girls, so you understand, a little 11-year-old girl had a hot iron rod with the letter M heated up. And it was scalded onto her bum because she was the property of Muhammad. Other girls had their tongues nailed to tables. They used to take these young children out into the woods in the middle of the night. They'd pour petrol over them and then set a lighter up saying they'll burn them and burn their whole family if they ever speak. So these girls were tortured. There were queues of men sometimes queuing up to rape these children. Some of the cases, 11 cousins were involved in the rape of a child. Fathers and sons were raping kids together. Brothers and brother-in-laws. This is a whole new imported phenomenon of rape that, quite frankly, the Western nations have never seen. Yes, we've got a problem with paedophiles. Yes, we've got a problem with deranged individuals, but they don't share them with their brothers, sisters, cousins, brothers and families and cousins. This was so accepted within the Islamic community. It was so mainstream. So I went to this town. I focused on this town. I spent 12 to 18 months there. You can watch this documentary series. It's the best work that's been done on this issue, which is why they hate me, because I'm pretty good at my job. trfilms.co.uk. We investigate. We do a police-style investigation. We track them in. I knew everything about every one of those gang members. I knew where they worked. I knew where they lived. I knew how they were related. I knew it all by the end of this investigation. And then we go after them. So once we got the stories, we go and find them. Because in this police investigation, 1,000 victims, not my investigation, the police's in this town, they identified 1,000 victims. Five victims are dead. Some of them burned alive, the children. Yeah, they've killed five. They've murdered five in that town alone. Now, the police identified 200 men involved in these rapes. 200. They only prosecuted 11. So when you see the headlines of rape gang, rape gang, rape gang, they're just doing a little few of them, yeah, to make the country feel like they're dealing with it. They can't deal with it. There's not enough prison cells to deal with it, yeah? But out of them, they prosecuted 11. So 200 men were identified. Now, you take the Muslim population in this town, you get rid of the children and get rid of the women. That's 1,000 men. So out of 1,000 Muslim men, the police identified 20% that were involved in the rapes. We identified 260, 26%. Just so the police, that's just from sitting down with 18 girls. Yeah, that's what we identify. Now, in our documentary series, when the girls are named, when the rapists are named by three or more victims that did not know each other, that's when they star in my films. Yeah. So it's not like one girl's just come and made something up to us. We've done a proper investigation from children that did not know each other, that lived in different areas of the town, that make exactly the same allegations about trafficking, abuse and rape and torture. Yeah. And then we go and find the men. Many of them running successful businesses, companies. In fact, the man whose job it was in the mosque to preach against the grooming gangs was one of the main groomers. We have pictures from the police. The police go and take these diversity photos, the same as what they're doing now in Texas. They go and have these photos taken for diversity, working together with the Islamic community. And they're all outside the mosque. You won't find photos outside the Sikh temple or the Hindu temple. It's always the mosque. They're outside the mosque. The man, the police officer whose job it is to stop grooming, stood next to the main groomer in the town. It's insane. Yeah. But when you take those figures and you look, as I said, from a 1.7% Muslim population, 20 to 30% of the Muslim men in that town were raping. That's a lot. The numbers. And that we have the figures for Telford and we have the figures for another small town called Rotherham. So when you talk about 250,000, just in Telford, where there's no Muslims, there's 1,000 victims. Now let's look at Rotherham. Rotherham has a 3.7% Muslim population. So again, there's none there. When I say there's none there, my town's got 50%. Yeah. Other towns, Oldham, 33%.
See, the government's doing studies on the towns that's light end, so...
They've done studies. We've got the figures on the towns that's light end. You're not allowed to ask why they're doing it. You're not allowed to look at religion or race. They try and muddy the water all the time on this.
So what's the real number, do you know?
I'd say probably up a million rapes. over those 20 years. When you look at the figures, again, because in Rotherham, 1,400 children.
I'll tell you what I see, like in Michigan, in Dearborn, when they march in the city council, you'll see these Muslim men with two or three blonde-haired, blue-eyed, brainwashed-looking women, look like they're 20 years old or 18. They're just there, and you just see their blue eyes and the slits as they're looking out, and these are literally captured women. You can see it.
They're taking them. No, but they're taking them everywhere. They're taking them everywhere. And are we supposed to just accept that? Are we supposed to accept that and tolerate that? And in America, this is the warning to America. Joe Biden opened your borders. They say 10 million. Maybe it was 20 million. Yeah? Who knows? But when Angela Merkel opened up Germany's borders, from 2017 to 2022, rapes went up 45%. I always bring these statistics up because people really need to look at it. Rapes went up 45% in those years. 11% of the rapes last year were from foreign nationals of just Syrian descent. 54, 56, I can't remember, 8 or 58%. It's upwards of 54% of the rapes in Germany were committed by Muslim migrants. They only make up 10% of the country. In the UK, 90% of the convictions, Muslim men. 90%. 30% of those convictions called Mohammed. In Sweden, 63% of the convictions, Muslim men. In Paris, 77% of the rapes, Muslim men. So you can go through any of these countries.
Also, let me ask you this, though. You said all this first. It's all vindicated. Now it's finally hit mainstream news. You got to feel vindicated. It's not about being vindicated. It's about the victory. Now this is becoming a front and center issue. Then Starmer, I know, the inquiry comes out to show the numbers. He gets caught erasing the rape database.
Keir Starmer was in charge of the Crown Prosecution Service at the time that many of these rapes were happening. They knew it was happening. They decided not to charge. Keir Starmer led this. So the problem you've got, when I started in 2009, within 3 weeks I got my first police raid. In the first 6 months, I had 3 raids. I was put under counter-terrorism measures to close my bank accounts and my assets. They destroyed my companies, my businesses, everything. Do you know, since that first 3 weeks, I have not had one period from then until now. I faced 10 years on October 26th this year. I faced 10 years in prison for my next trial. Yeah, I've just got off with 2 trials, thanks to Elon Musk, a counter-terrorism trial where the judge ruled that they were persecuting me, targeting me, and it was all unlawful. The case before that, just 9 months before that, I got off of another charge where they found again I was unlawfully targeted, unlawfully given conditions not to enter my capital city for 6 months. All of it unlawful. Thank God for Elon Musk supporting my campaign. I have a chance now on October 26th to win that case rather than do 10 years. But since 2000...
Oh, we should have started the show with that. In fact, put this up front. You're facing 10 years in prison right now for what?
Questioning journalists from the Daily Mail. You have to understand the Daily Mail and these newspapers, they're weapons of the state. You can't question them. You can't go after them. You can't ask them the questions that they're asking you, which is all I tried to do. They put a camera on me, I'll turn the camera around. I'm coming to ask you some questions. No, you're not. They're in fear for their life. They're in fear
we
for
have their people that pray outside abortion clinics 100 yards away. They get 2 years in jail.
They get prosecuted, yeah.
People don't realize how bad the UK is. I mean, it's bad.
It's bad, but
what is Starmer trying to do?
Well, 2009, when I start talking about this, since then until now, I've not had one single period in that 15, 16 years, whatever it is, I've not had one single period where I haven't been facing prison. So lawfare, which is what Alex has been hit with, it's what Donald Trump was hit with, it's the reason I played that documentary last year. So I had a court order not to show a documentary. I had a grenade showing how they operate. You see, everything we know about lawfare, it's an unholy alliance of judiciary, of politicians.
But look at that headline. Oh, you talked to reporters 10 years in jail. What is this?
Yep, I faced
but a girl, a 9-year-old escapes, goes to the police, they arrest her for being raped. I mean, just look how upside down that is. How do the letters of the Guardian, how do they get enough mercenaries to do this?
Well, they're all weapons of the state. They're all working for the state. Again, it's not, Britain is not a free democracy. It's not. The European Union are working against the interests of the people. They're flooding the nation with the United Nations. It's all, your borders and our borders and Germany's borders and every country's borders, they weren't open by mistake. They're open. Do you know Minnesota? Just look at Minnesota. Ask yourself this question. Somalians come from the hottest place in the world, Somalia. They come into the United States. Do you think they chose Minnesota? Do you think they chose to move to the coldest place in the United States? Do you think that was a choice made by Somalians? Or do you think they were put there? Do you think they were put there in the full knowledge of how quick that community grows? So when you look at the Muslim communities...
It's a voting block.
They're bringing in voting blocks to make sure... You know your swing states. Just look at the figures. The figures of illegal immigration were up was almost 700% in some of those swing states. Now, if you hadn't elected Donald Trump, you never would have won an election again.
Well, that's right. Trump isn't perfect, and I get mad at him, but it's night and day. So we got to back the good he does, oppose the bad he does, but overall it's night and day.
Yeah, I can't claim to be an expert on American politics. I read what I can, I look at what I can, I've followed it. But I can be an expert on Islam and what it's going to do to your country.
It's the exact same playbook.
It's identical.
You've been hit with is what we're being hit with now.
The lawfare they hit with me is the lawfare they hit with you. It's the lawfare hit with Trump. The difference is I had a film. So when I had the possession of this documentary, which proved everything was a lie in a story they told, I can't go into details here because I go straight back to jail. I'm on a lie. I just come out after doing 18 months. I've got an 18-month prison sentence for a film. Now, when Alex told me not to go home, lots of people told me not to go home, I made a decision to put the British judiciary on trial. I had a vision that if I know what this film shows. If you watch this film, you know I told the truth and you know they lied.
Now, and it's them admitting you were right, admitting they were covering it up. So you went to jail for that.
If you know they lied, you then can question the results of the judiciary and the politicization of the judiciary, not just against me. Do this, okay? Americans, do this. Pick any fighter in Europe. Morten Messerschmidt is the lead name in Denmark who's opposed to European Union and mass immigration. Google his name. Look at the lawfare he's faced. Court case after court case after court case.
A lot of them get shot and killed, actually, or stabbed.
Ken Paxton, look at the lawfare he faced for standing up. Look at anyone that stood up and look at the lawfare. So look at Salvini. Look at Salvini, who's deputy prime minister now of Italy. He faced 6 years of relentless lawfare for standing up. They didn't get anywhere, proven wrong, but the process is the punishment. The stress, I don't know if Alex talks about the stress, what he's gone through, I know what goes on behind closed doors, I know the dark places, I know the bankruptcy, I know the effect on the family, I know the effect on the children, I know what it is. So even if you come out of it, my last two cases, I come out, one cost £53,000, I was cleared, I don't get the £53,000 back, I don't get my time or life back, in fact all my energy is put into fighting a court case, of which I'm innocent.
Well then they should have bankrupted my parents.
That's what they do, yeah. And it hangs over your head. So they have this cloud over your head. I've had it since 2009. You try to live with it, you try to fight it. But here I am, come 2021. I'm taken to court. They say I lied in a story. I have all the evidence of covert recordings proving that people were paid not to tell the truth. I find out who paid them. They spent £274,000. I get all the evidence. I have this big conspiracy of the Unholy Alliance, how they operate. And I realise that this film is far bigger than Tommy Robinson. This film proves everything.
What's crazy is you told me a few years ago before you came back and went to jail, it was going to happen. It happened. Starmer's out. It's admitted he did it. He was the head. I mean,
but this
so what happens next?
This was about the judiciary and the lion. And I made a decision to go back because I thought, I'm going to put them on trial for the world. And it was a risk I took because the world might not have seen the film. But I went back, and even the judge said when I went in before him, delete the film and I will drastically reduce your sentence. I said, you don't get it, do you? Like, you sent me.
And then it had like 20 million views, now it's 160.
It was only on 400,000 when they come to me.
And that, I was guessing a number.
And it went up to 167 million views. So although.
By the way, that's just your post-its everywhere else.
Yeah, that's my.
Any idea how many people see it now?
I don't know. Well,
500 million?
Well, 8 weeks before I was due to come out of prison, they made my solicitor, notify my solicitor. The minute I walk out.
Now we know they were threatening Musk the whole time.
Yeah.
And Starmer went to the EU to have them do multi-billion-dollar fines, and then one of the main things was you. So Elon's paying billions to keep your movie up.
Elon's
a freaking hero, man. Everybody's like, oh, you're kissing his ass. I mean, he's a game changer, folks. He brought me back. What am I supposed to do? Bite the hand that saves us?
No, it's free speech. And people say, why is Elon supporting you? I said, Elon's supporting free speech. Each one of my court cases, I sent the paperwork to a lawyer to look at. And if it was a violation of free speech, he supported it. So he's supporting free speech. He's a free speech
advocate. You're going to have Democrats filed saying they own my name. They said the 13th Amendment doesn't apply to Alex Jones. We own his name. Musk wouldn't block that in court.
Again, I don't think he'll be remembered for putting things on Mars. I think he's going to remember for saving free speech.
But you know, it all started during COVID. They literally grabbed his son, brainwashed him, castrated him, basically, chemically. Like, I'm not glad that happened, but boy, like, that shows how arrogant they are. Like, these people are crazy.
That's happening to all of these ideologies and all these promotions, which are about destabilizing the nation, creating weak men. That's organized. And I'd say, so people understand, they have had a successful revolution. The left have had it. They've infiltrated the schools, infiltrated the education. They've got into the minds of the youth. They've polluted the minds of the youth. They've attacked the church. They've destabilized the nations. They've done what they wanted to do. Now what we're seeing is the counter-revolution. That's what we're witnessing right now. You witnessed it.
Stay there. Let's talk the counter-revolution with the true 1776 2.0 from the United Kingdom. Tommy Robinson. That's right. 1776 is worldwide. We'll be right back with hour number three with Tommy Robinson. Stay with us.
We're engaged in world-changing information here. And now her credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high-quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose absolutely free with our creatine. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Our medical-grade USP ultramethylene blue, exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a one-month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com, become a subscriber, and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. Thealexjonesstore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River.
Oh, you like this, Tommy?
I love it.
Me too.
I love country west of the room, man. When I've been in America, it's great.
Older than the trees.
Well, here's the deal. We had to preserve our Western culture, which is obviously very powerful, very beautiful. Doesn't mean we hate other people, but there are a lot of tyrants that are threatened by it because liberty and freedom is in the way of tyranny. And we can talk about Muslims all day, but it's the globalists, the Black Rocks, that are allied with it because, like you said, it's a poison that is going to bring us down.
It's bringing us down. It's brought us down. Like, I've had some ups and downs, highs and lows. I felt defeated at times. 2021 after when I released this film, I went to court and they bankrupted me and I knew I told the truth and I knew I had all the evidence telling that I told the truth. But when I went to court, the judge gave me an order that said, if you ever show any of the information that you've showed in this courtroom, then you will go to jail for 2 years. So, and I lost. I failed myself as a journalist. I failed my movement because I was scared. I was scared because I'd just, as you said, I come out of prison the year before. I spent months on solitary confinement and I was in a bad place. I was wrecked. My mind was wrecked. My head was wrecked. Everything. I felt in a terrible place. Fast forward. They've given me this court order. I should have walked out of court and I should have played that film and I didn't because I was scared of the consequence, not just to me, but I've got a young family and I saw the effect it had on my children, the worry, the fear.
They were going to come at them. But I actually advise you. I don't think you were wrong. I said, you're doing so much great work. You've already exposed the courts. The grooming's coming out. You don't have to show them lying behind the scenes in the court to prove you're right. I said, be strategic. Don't let me, but I think at the end you were right because they throw you back in prison and now you have a million people, not 100,000 at your rally. So your sacrifice was worth it. I think you were right in the end, but I was being more strategic.
Yeah.
Remember me telling you on the phone?
Just set me up. I remember it just set me up. It ate me up every day. It ate me up. And in the end, I sat my kids down and sat my family down and said, look, I've got to do it. I can't carry on. And I was in a low place.
What's your wife and family say to that?
I've explained lots of things to them. I remember the time before that on the case, my son's here. And I said to my son, because they said, if I plead guilty, I don't go to jail. And my family was saying, just plead guilty. Then you can come home. I said, I can't. And I said, I don't want to. And this is the reason why, because you see, if I don't plead guilty and they send me a jail, then 5 million people are going to watch this video. And if 5 million people, and I asked my son, because I've got two daughters, and I said, you see, girls your sister's age, they're being kidnapped, they're being hurt, they're being tortured, they're being taken from their families. If I play this film and it saves one girl, just one, and if I do this and I go to jail and one girl gets saved, I sit in a room for a few months, whatever. It's not the end of the world. But we're going to be apart. We'll talk. I'll be home. if I stage one go, what should I do? And he said he was only, what was he at the time? 11? He says, yeah, Dad, you should do the film. You should not plead guilty. So I said, but I think I felt bad because I felt like I was putting on my kids, but I wanted to feel the justification that they don't.
They got it, but I mean,
I didn't want them resenting me for the.
Well, the Islamists are starting to get on their heels in the UK, thanks to you and others. I mean, we're having some success though.
We're having some success, and I was abroad. I went abroad after that court case. I was sitting in Spain, and then I felt defeated. October 7th happened. Jihadists were taking over every Western nation, every university. And my phone pops on, and my X account was back. And I looked and went, what? Because Elon Musk had bought X, I didn't get my account back straight away, so I thought, I'm not getting it back. And then it was turned on, and so was Katie Hopkins. And I messaged Katie Hopkins saying, Katie, our accounts are back. And then she's like, what? So then I've looked, and I couldn't log in, I remember it, I didn't know the password. So although the account was back on, I was like, shit, I just bought a tweet. So then I decided to fly back to the UK. And the jihadists took over the capital city, and it was Armistice Day. And we were planning Armistice Day, which is our Remembrance Day, and the jihadists were planning on disrupting Armistice Day. So I made a video saying, men, English men, I hadn't done a demonstration for 5 years. I said, we need to descend on our capital.
And Armistice is the end of World War One, right?
Yeah, this is where we have
our... How dare you celebrate the victory?
We have our Remembrance Day, and they were going to disrupt it for Palestine, like everything's for Palestine. So I made a video, and about 3,000 young men turned up. Yeah, and there was, and everyone turned up. But
now a million show up. This is you the last year.
Yeah. So it went from organising this, then they come for me for the film. I go to jail. But what we did is I sat down, which is what needs to happen here. You need to do it. But we were at an advanced stage where we realise our culture's disappearing. We're losing our nation. So then when I come back, I set up a meeting and I called together 15 influencers, Carl Benjamin, Lawrence Fox, Calvin Robinson, Mayor Tusi, Katie Hopkins. All of them have been attacked. All of them have been silenced, but now all of them are back. All of them have got 500,000, 1 million. You've got views on TikTok. You've got views on YouTube. And we spent 2 days banging our heads. We spent months together.
Stay there. Back in 60 seconds. And thank you, Elon Musk. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I sat out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Front lines of the information war. It's Alex Jones.
Well, Tommy Robinson's been blocked getting in the U.S. for the last decade plus. He's here. And I realized that last night when I knew he was coming here, I mean, we set up a week ago, I was like, I'm going to get to meet Tommy Robinson. Or met him in person. I actually got butterflies. And folks, I can be walking out to a crowd of 50,000 people and I'll get butterflies. But it's because of his accomplishments. And it's about celebrating the will, the solitary confinement, the torture, the being attacked. It would take hours, you know, them letting the Muslims come and defecate at your door every day in solitary confinement, shoving their feces under the door at you. As you just watch them laughing, shoving their feces in, taking your cousin, raping her, disappearing her. I mean, and all of you vindicated. And then now, you know, you, 18 years ago or whatever, with 1,000 people on the street, and now 1 million, and everything they've done has failed. And then like the Deus Ex comes in. That's the Millennium Falcon coming in with Luke Skywalker when Darth Vader's about to kill him, before he blows up the Death Star, and he comes in. Han Solo saves the day. Musk literally comes in like Han Solo in Episode 4 of Star Wars and pulls your bacon out. Mine too. And it's a total game changer. And then he's a shill. He's not whatever. It doesn't. It's real. He's in protecting the West. You cannot lie and say it's not happening.
Well, what we did is we set up a meeting, 15 people, American influencers could do with doing something like this, I believe. And we sat in a room for 2 days. and we've spent months doing this, but what, the idea was, if you change the culture, you change the politics. If we want to set up a political party, it's going to...
By the way, some stations just joined us. Recap where you are a few years ago.
Okay.
What happened? You come back to the country, they want to put you...
I'm abroad, I'm broken, I'm down, I've got no platform, I've got no voice. I'm
just 4 years ago.
Yeah, I'm deplatformed from absolutely every social media. Elon Musk steps in, gives me back X. Right, we're fighting. Now the fight's on now, yeah? Because we can reach the public again. So I fly back to the UK, start setting up demonstrations, and then we
come... So Musk put you back in the game.
Yeah, Musk put our country back in the game.
Yeah.
We were gone. We were gone. We had no hope. And do you know, hope's contagious. Hope's something when you see light at the end of the tunnel, which is what we currently see now coming out of the United States. There's a ripple that's come from America. There's a when you voted for Donald Trump, you think it was a vote to save America. It was a vote to save Western civilization. Yeah. It was far bigger than the United States of America. Without you having freedom, nowhere in the world.
People ask me, like, why do you care about Australia or Canada? Not most of my listeners, but some. I'm like, they're under, if Martians came to Earth today and blew up France or blew up Russia, I'd be concerned because we're next. Plus, I care about them. This is the same globalist, the same Islam. Like, you have been on the front line. We want to talk to you. You've witnessed it. You give us the intel.
Yeah, so fast, what we realize our culture is disappearing. So
you had this meeting and now it's had a huge effect. Talk about it.
We had this meeting. We got 15 people together and we said, right, listen, the war here is civil. So mainstream media are the cancer. And citizen journalists are the cure. Now, how can we work together? They've attacked all of us. Now, if we all come together under one umbrella, so we had a board and we said, write down what are your most 10 important points? What are your most? So it wasn't about me creating a cultural movement.
Brainstorm.
It was about us creating a cultural movement.
It's a literal Continental Congress.
Yeah. So we sat down together and then we decided we got it down to 5 points. Free speech. We have to fight for free speech. Our culture. We have to fight against the sexualization of children, LGBTQ+. Islam, we come to an agreement where we had these 5 points and we said, right, do we all agree that, because we don't want to know what we disagree on.
It's a battle
plan.
You might
support Palestine, you might support Israel, you might support this, you might support that. Who cares? Our culture's under risk. These are the points we need to fight for. Now, if we agree to work under this umbrella and we create a video about culture, against a politician, about free speech, against a newspaper, then we can combat what they're doing. With a click of a button, we will have a bigger reach than the BBC worldwide. If we work together. So we worked together and we decided our culture's under attack, our identity's under attack. So we organised our first event on the 30th of June 2024. And we made it a celebration. And we called our organisation Unite the Kingdom because we want to unite this country. We want to unite Wales, Scotland, Northern Ireland, England, even the Republic of Ireland, which we're managing. We now want to move on from Unite the Kingdom to Unite the West. But we started with Unite the Kingdom. We brought these influencers together. We brought these commentators together. And we launched. And we all promoted this event. And the event was promoted. And remember, I've held 60 national organisations.
And it is time for the entire West to unite. And it's time for the Irish and the Scots and the English to come together under the main threat and one
Europeans,
people.
Europeans, oh, the entire West, because this is an attack against Western civilization. We need to work together. So that's what our plan was. That's what our goal was. We made our video. We made our promo. And remember, I've organized 60 national demonstrations. I've watched infiltration. You know what they've done to you on January 6th? That's what they've done to us. So I know how to stop that. So from the start of our first demonstration, I made videos clear. If you turn up and you cover your face, we will turn on you. We, as in our men, will stop you and we will remove your face coverings. That is to prevent infiltration. That prevents the government bodies coming in. Look up the special demonstration squad. There are entire squads and organisations within the British police force and British government that infiltrate organisations. They infiltrate and they cause trouble and they cause violence, and then the media act as their weapon, they photograph the violence, and then they spread a message to the British public and the world to take away the legitimacy of your frustration. It's what they done to you on January 6th. They didn't want you ever protesting again. They didn't want you ever protesting again. They wanted you too scared to protest, too scared to speak out, thinking everything's a trap. That's how they wanted you. So I learned that. So when we held this demonstration, I sat down with the police in negotiating for the first demonstration, and I sat down with the Met Police. And for a decade, patriots have been clashing with the police in the UK. Every time there's a demonstration, we clash, we fought. So I sat down with them and said, lads, we're not against you. We're pro-law. We're pro-police, yeah? But what's been allowed to happen? So what I'm going to tell you now, if I want to organise a protest on the same day as a Palestinian demonstration, you know I can. I know what you can and can't stop. I can pick a place and we can protest there in static demonstration. It's our right. And if I want to, thousands and thousands of young Englishmen are going to come. I don't want to do that, okay? But what I do want, as Englishmen and as Britishmen, we want the same rights that Black Lives Matter were given. We want the same rights that the left are given. So we don't want you shutting roads. We don't want you blocking us. We don't want you policing us.
By the way, I did the same thing with like 5,000 that showed up for the Bilderberg protests like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And the cops, because I talked to them like that, they did it, it went well.
I said, if you don't do what we're asking you to do, I'm telling you we're going to hit their protests. We're going to come on the same day as Hamas. And if we do, it's going to cause mayhem. But we don't want to. But at the same time, we want our rights, we want our freedoms, we want them protected, we want the same respect that's given to every other community. What we want to do is we want a celebration. And we want a celebration that's safe for women, children, and families to come
by
to.
By the way, tell us the name of the demonstration.
Unite the Kingdom.
Let's UGK. Pull up Unite the Kingdom or something.
Look up UGK
attacks.
Events, yeah.
Let's show this. It was massive. But you had an even bigger event last year, like a million they reported.
Yeah. So we went from the first one, and then the police stayed away, and we told the police, we'll police ourselves. Stay away. Yeah, we'll police ourselves. And it worked. And from that point, we've had a new relationship with the Metropolitan Police Force, which has now worked, where they respect us, they see us, we have family. So we went.
Which is an example, like the Muslims organized, we have to.
Yeah, we went from 30,000 to, and we showed the public that you can come out and celebrate British identity without riots. Then the next event was on the 27th of July, and do you know, I felt something. Something happening. Someone had a Crisis King sign, and I saw the crowds erupt. And just before the next event, on the 27th of July, 2024, was the Paris Olympics. And they desecrated and they humiliated the Jesus, and they humiliated...
Last Supper.
The Last Supper. And after that, I wasn't that religious. But I was so outraged at what they'd done, I called a priest that I knew and said, come and speak at our event, because I'm outraged by what's happened. When I went to that event, 100,000 people were chanting Christ is King. At that moment, I felt something, yeah? I felt something that I felt in Poland in 2015.
The new crusade.
I felt something's happening, yeah? I could see it. I could feel it. Something is brewing here. We went from 100,000. They then, you know, the day after 100,000 people, I travelled to the border. I get detained under the Terrorism Act. Do you know the officer who's in charge of counterterrorism? It's the same officer who's in charge of the Rotherham rape scandal. He's been promoted from being in charge of that. So during the time when they let them rape all the kids in Rotherham, he's now in charge of counterterrorism. I get detained under the Terrorism Act, I get prosecuted and I get charged under the Terrorism Act. Elon Musk saved me. Elon Musk gave me lawyers. We defeated it. We showed that it was unlawful. We showed it was illegal. But we went from 100,000. Then we built up for the next one, which was September 13th. Now, when I walked out of jail after 7 months of solitary confinement, the first camera I went up to, I said, September 13th, they thought they'd stopped us. They thought they'd stopped this cultural revolution. They only temporarily halted it. We're coming in our thousands, and we're not coming angrily. We're not coming the way you want us to come. We're not coming to smash anything up. We decide who we are. We decide our values. We're coming to celebrate because you've kept us down. We're coming to celebrate what Britain is, the culture, the beauty, the art, all of it. And we put together a celebration with music, gospel bands, celebration, comedy, all of it comes together.
The rebirth of the West.
The rebirth of the West and civilization and the rebirth of community, because they've broken it. And anyone that's come that day...
What they really hate is you've got the Sikhs and you've got everybody else, the Africans, they all get it.
Unfortunately, there's a push which I believe has come from people, come from the United States. There's this new push to push and divide based on ethnicity, which is what we're...
Now, here's the deal. We have to control because they brainwash a lot of the migrants, but the ones that are here, a lot of them are waking up. The ones that join us and sign on to the culture,
They love Britain. I know many of them. They love Britain. They love the culture. They've integrated and assimilated.
Well, I see them. They're wearing the flag. They love it.
They love it. So what? And we successfully did that. And anyone who looked, the diversity of our crowd was huge. It was everyone who loved Great Britain. And we come there, and I'd say it was more than a million. It was millions descending on our capital city. The biggest protest in British history. They tried to play it down. The media said, and this is where Elon Musk is so important, because the media said...
He showed the lie. Well, but people say, I can see Elon Musk ass. No, I love victory. He literally tried to say they owned my name. He blocked them.
Elon Musk beamed in life. Well, I interviewed him for 15 minutes in front of 66 million people watched that event. Forget Live Aid. Yeah, this is the biggest, most watched event. Our next one is on May 16th. Now, beyond May 16th, because this
You invited me to that. I wanted to go.
Come.
I've just been told I'm going to be arrested the minute I hit the UK, which is okay, but you're getting out.
I expect you would. I expect you would.
I started to get ready to go, and I was told you're going to be arrested.
So May 16th is our next event.
And what happens if I get arrested? You get me out of jail? What are you going to do?
I can't get myself out of jail, but I'm sure Elon might step in.
Yeah.
And help. No, Donald Trump would step in. If you were put in jail for your speech.
No, I'm gonna be there. I'm gonna be at the next event.
The next event's May 16th. Now, beyond May 16th, this is our vision, yeah? Cause you have to have a vision, and where we're losing, we have a vision, we've wrote a 4-year vision and a 4-year plan. It's media. It's media, alternative media, citizen journalists. It's about uniting citizen journalists around the globe under on a common umbrella. Give them their independence, let them prosper, but they need help, they need support. They're going up against the mainstream. The mainstream want to crush them.
By the way, guys, he's already done this. You realize this isn't a guy talking, you can see it. He did nothing. He's charismatic. He's done it. We've done it. You can feel history. It's in our hands.
It's happening, yeah. The fight's on, and the fight wouldn't be on without America. That's the truth. That's why I'm so embedded and so, I'm so blessed to be standing on this ground now, is because without America, when we watch J.D. Vance, when I watch Rubio, when we see them lecturing the European Union about our rights and our freedoms, that's the first time we know someone's fighting for us here. There's a chance here. They've took our speech. They need to take your speech. They need to control your speech. They need to silence you. They need to control. They've lost control. They lost control in 2016 when you elected Donald Trump. They took back control. Look what they've done with the election. Look what they've done with censorship. Then you've done again. You fought back the biggest comeback ever with Donald Trump. Then the controls come back in. My YouTube account got turned back on 2 weeks before I got out of prison. That come from your election. I have no doubt. They still won't monetize it. I'm still censored through Meta, which I can't understand. What's his name? Dana White's up in Meta. You can't mention my name on Facebook or Instagram. Why? What, I thought it was an American company that believes in values of free speech. I've never been tried or convicted.
Well, the fact you're still censored shows they fear you. So let's talk about Iran. I want the mullahs gone, but I know that it's a trap, and I'm concerned. I hope it works out. But, I mean, where are you on that?
On Iran, I want them gone. I think that you have to understand the future of Western civilization. Iran is one of the main counters to it. Iran have funded every terrorist organization, 12 terror plots against my country. How many American troops have been murdered? They embarrassed and humiliated your troops when they took them on the boat. Barack Obama gave them $1 billion a pound. Everyone's surrendering to them. This group and this Ayatollah, this is not like Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein wanted control of Iraq. He didn't want world domination. This Shia, lunatic, Ayatollah, religious fanatic, wants world domination. Their goal, and this isn't just them, so all the proxy groups, they Hamas, there is no Hamas without Iran. They're not supported without Iran. Now, Hamas made it pretty clear on October 7th. On October 8th, what did they say? What did their representatives and leaders say? They said New York and London are our goal. It's not like... this is why I get a lot of criticism. And I don't really care, right? Because I stand on my values and I stand on what I believe. I get a lot of criticism over Israel, okay? Now, many people haven't been to Israel. Many people haven't been surrounded by jihad. Many people haven't. But when we talk about Israel, do you not realize that there was problems before 1948? These problems didn't create in 1948. Yeah. Take Israel out of the equation.
Well, that whole area used to be Christian and Jewish. They drove us out.
They drove everyone out. And the only, do you know, Christian population, when people go on about Israel and they go, the only democracy in the Middle East is Israel. Do you know the only place that's been the Christian population has grown in the Middle East is Israel. Let's look at Syria. Let's look at Iraq. Let's look at Afghanistan. And I'm not being funny. I think Tucker's your friend. I don't want to hear from Tucker Carlson how great fucking Islam is. I don't want to hear from him. I want to hear from Christians who live in Pakistan. I want to hear from Christians in Afghanistan. Do you tell me about what it's like? Listen to people in Europe. I hear about a Muslim Christian alliance in America coming from American commentators who know nothing what it's like to live with them. You've got no idea what they're like. And then they want to blame Israel and the Jews on causing all this division. They say that I'm created in order to create problems with Muslims. I didn't create all the jihad attacks. I didn't make them behead Lee Rigby.
I didn't make them kidnap your cousin.
I didn't make them blow up 26 people. I didn't make them commit jihad for 1400 years. I didn't make them massacre Christianity throughout the whole history. All these sexual slaves, the 2 million taken from Spain. That's not my fault. I didn't do that.
Well, the idea that your control is totally insane like me. No, that's, I try to balance it out. And you're the rest of it. But I totally agree. And I think Tucker means well overall. He knows, like Saddam was CIA. He was actually anti-jihad. They set him up. Yep. Tucker came here to apologize to me 13, 14 years ago and said I was a neocon. So now he's gone the other extreme.
I understand being against the war. And I understand you elected Donald Trump to not be.
No, I'm just saying Tucker just went the complete other direction.
Yeah, but Tucker knows the problem because he used to talk about the problem. So to sit and pretend he don't know the problem, he's a fraud. I'm sorry. And to sit and pretend he didn't know me.
Well, I know this. It would break the internet if he interviewed you.
Well, why don't he? Why don't he? We reached out to him. He said no. Why don't he? Why doesn't he? Instead of sitting chatting shit, which is what he does, instead of sitting lying about, and he goes on about Qatar. Qatar funded £1 billion they've spent into Western Europe to destroy it. That's what Qatar has done.
Qatar is funding the Sudan Muslims.
Yeah, and Iran. And their conflict, all the Muslim Brotherhood, all these problems. So the immigration, people say, well, if you go in and you bomb Iran, you're going to cause a mass immigration problem. Most of our immigration at the minute is coming from Sudan. And it's coming from Sudan because Qatar and Iran are funding a jihad in the middle of Sudan. That's where it's coming from. And it's a very different ball game. The war in Iran. As I said, in Afghanistan, when we went in, and I understand it was weapons of mass destruction, total lies, everything was a lie. The whole reason for the war, all bullshit.
And then our own elites flood us with Muslim refugees, which is about to happen again.
I don't think it will happen.
Well, the experts are saying that this could create a 2016 style migrant crisis.
For coming from where?
I'm saying this war can do that.
But most of the migrants that have left Iran left because of the Ayatollah. So we've already had loads of Iranians flooding the country around the world, and they're
Listen, if the Ayatollah should be sent to Mars, I'd be happy.
And if he's gone, and if his regime is gone, I don't believe Persians are going to flee that country. I believe many of them are going to go back. It's a beautiful nation before he took over, and we played our part in installing him. So before he took over, and if you look at Afghanistan, 99% of
Afghanistan... Well, yeah, the CIA through Mossadegh was pro-Western because he wouldn't give the British all the oil.
Yeah, that's what it's about.
And then
money,
79,
power.
They opened the door, yeah.
Well, we have been on the wrong side so many times throughout history. We've been on the wrong side. We were funding ISIS. We created the Taliban. It was all about our geopolitical world points. And we were on the wrong side with the Ayatollah. But right now, we're on the wrong side, on the right side. There's 90 million people who are enslaved. They're not Muslims. They're Persians. They're rich in culture, rich in identity. They've got their own identity. And they've had a slavery put upon them. And
no, I agree with you. My problem is
80% of them.
We already got special forces in the Northwest.
The Kurds are fighting them, aren't they?
Yeah, and it's
are
about to go down. So Trump's like, oh, this isn't a war. If it's going to be a war, just say it. I don't like that. I don't like being
It's going to be, but let's look at, say Trump doesn't go to war. Say Trump didn't do this. And this isn't Afghanistan, it's not Iraq. It's the Persian people who want freedom, they want free speech, and they will be your ally. They will be a Western supporting ally. They will love forever. You know, next 100 years, in 200 years, they're going to talk about Donald Trump. You're going to have statues of Donald Trump in Persia. They're going to love him. He freed them. He took them back and gave them back safety and freedom. Speak to any Iranians.
But you talk as if the victories have been had.
Well, it looks like they've been had. They've been wiped out massively. All of their religious leaders have been wiped out. You've never seen a victory like this. Look at what he's done with, and China. I've asked everyone. I've met General Flynn. I've met lots of people since I've been here. What's the biggest threat to the United States? China. Well, what happened when he went into Venezuela? It's affecting China.
He cuts off Cuba, cuts off China.
So this is...
And now they close the Strait of Hormuz, that cuts off China.
It all cuts off China, yeah? So in a bigger world view than just freeing the Iranian people, maybe America haven't done it to free the Iranian people, but America will have to look at the interests of the United States of America and you, the American people, and what is your national security. And by taking out the leader of Iran, who's the biggest funder and sponsor of world terrorism, of destroying my nation, of terror plots against your president, they wanted to assassinate him. So in all of this, in the long run, the world's a better place. It cuts off the funding to Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis. It cuts off all of it. It cuts off the destruction that's happening in Sudan. It cuts off a lot of it. And I know people didn't want intervention of foreign intervention and regime change. I see this as totally different. This isn't a regime that's focused on Iran. This is a regime that's focused on world domination. It's like taking out ISIS. It's not a regime. It's not, you don't respect that. People, and I hear commentators here supporting the Islamic Revolutionary Guard. I think, what are you talking about? It's insane. Would you support ISIS? Should we respect ISIS having a state? Because that's what this is. This is enslavery of an entire population of people who want freedom.
I know, but then we watch Turkey and Israel overthrowing Assad and then putting the leader of Al-Qaeda there. That's why people get concerned.
I get it. And that's outrageous as well, what's happened in Syria. It's outrageous what's happened in Syria. He's a terrorist. And I get all...
By the way, are you feeling that methylene blue?
I felt it, yeah. You've not seen me raging. Come on.
Don't beat me up.
I was asleep an hour ago. But no, I think it's a much more complex... I don't claim to be an expert on it, but I understand the Ayatollah. I understand what he thinks, and I understand the Persian people, because I know many of them. I understand what they've fled. And I look, do you know when I think... Think of this, Americans. Many of you would have been scared after January 6th to protest and speak. I've gone out into some cities here, and people are self-censoring through fear of losing their job. Well, these Persians have been raped and massacred in their tens of thousands. Young children, women. Do you know what? They've still gone out and protested. In Britain, we've got a population who were scared. We've broke the dam. We've burst it. The people are up. They're talking now. They're ready. They're ready for the fight. But they weren't for two decades. They were scared of being called racist. So forget being scared of called racist. These people are out on the streets fighting for their freedom.
By the way, Tommy, let me just say, how does it feel to be the detonator? If you had to pick one person, there's been a lot of great people that exposed Islam, what was happening, but we have to say you are the OG, the most successful. You're not into yourself, but what does it feel like to know in history that you have reignited the new crusade?
It feels great. It feels great. As I said, I don't claim to be.
How do the Muslims act when you're in England and they see you?
I actually get a level of respect from them. It's quite mad.
That's the thing, is they're very honest about this.
No, they know I'm telling the truth. They know I'm telling... I have them come up to me, some of their gang lads, where I'm from, and I'm walking through the town, they shake my hand, say, I don't like you. I respect you. At least you say what you mean. And that's why they respect Donald Trump. In the Islamic community, in that culture, they respect strong men, not weak. You see, when you show them weakness, they're going to walk all over it. I made the decision, when I started the English Defence League, when I started talking about this, me and my cousin, I said, you see, if we run once, we'll be running for the rest of our life. They need to know you'll fight them. They need to know that. So I'm not saying I'll win a fight, but I will fight. Yeah, I'll be the best loser you fought. I'm not going to win every fight, but I will fight you. So if you want to say something in the street, I'm going to fight you. So once they know that, most of them don't want the fight. They're bullies. They act in gangs.
I was about to say, I've been in the UK dozens of times, and even 20 years ago, I'd be shooting a video of Big Ben, and Muslims would come over like I was filming them. So you stop that because they were used to Brits. And I'd say, F you. They'd like back off real quick. They weren't used to that.
Yeah, and we shouldn't apologize for that. I'm not going to apologize for being a man. Like, for too long, we're not meant to fight. No, we're meant to fight. If someone wants to attack you, fight them. And that's not weakness. That's strength. That's a man. And that's what America is showing now, the world. When you show appeasement, which you showed under Biden, weakness, pathetic, cowards, he embarrassed the United States of America. You become a bit of a laughing stock on the world stage. Not anymore. Not anymore. America's back. And the world knows it. You think the world's going to fuck around with Donald Trump? They're going to mess around with the United States, the best military in the world. Well, the world now knows that. And I think it's great for the United States of America.
Oh, my God, you're selling me on it all now.
I think it's great for the world. It's great for peace. It's
I know, great. But the CIA's going to set Trump up.
They probably are. They probably are, but you know they're going to set him up. So not any longer. They can't set him up without you knowing. You now know. Social media platforms are going to show it. And people will realise it. So whereas, like, 30 years ago, they might have the power to set people up, assassinate people without anyone knowing. That power's gone because of gentlemen like Elon Musk.
All right, we got you some Texas barbecue, but let's do this. I'm going to go to break, come back with the closing comments, and we'll air a promo. I want to air the great new JD Vance football promo. And maybe Sleeping Giant promo. And then, Tommy, I'm going to go eat barbecue with you, and then you're going to interview me.
Yeah, I'll interview you. From my audience, man, because you're a character, Alex.
Brother, hey, listen. I don't normally travel around. It's hard to get me to go places. You're going to be here a little while. I want to go. If you're doing some events or something, I'll come do it with you.
Let's do an event together.
Brother, you name the time, I'll be there.
Let's go.
I'm like, got butterflies here. I'm like a fanboy over here, man. Tommy Robinson has got the he's got the juice, folks. He's got the rebellion. He's got the victory. You can feel it. History happening now. We got lightning in a bottle. Tommy Robinson, TommyInUSA.com. You have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I shut out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, your joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
We have a new product in at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force, but we brought it back, but even stronger. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity, with no letdown, and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact this has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, TheAlexJonesStore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this and then looking at how they're organically derived and how each ingredient itself is a game changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Now, back to our program.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
big.
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, because this is really funny, because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalist in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Well, I was thumbing from Montgomery. I had my guitar on my back. When a stranger stopped beside me in an antique Cadillac. He was dressed like 1950, half drunk and hollow-eyed. He said, it's a long walk to Nashville. Would you like to ride, son?
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
I sat down in the front seat. He turned on the radio. And them sad old songs coming out of them speakers was
solid country gold. Well, I got to tell you, I am just giddy. I can feel the energy of Tommy Robinson in person. I can always feel it over the phone and then over Skype and then over Zoom. And I realized when last night, I go, I've never met Tommy in person. And then, like I said, he was on the Brianna Morello show that's on right before mine. So a 2-minute break there on the show. And I was late putting on my headset, you know, getting ready. And I saw him down the hall and I wanted to go say hi. And I was like, no, I'll say hi. So we literally met in person on the air. What a historic moment we're in, and you can see the West coming out of its coma, awakening. You can see the left horrified, panicked. We can complain Trump's not doing this perfect or that's not happening right, but at the end of the day, we should all be very, very positive, because there's no doubt the fight is on, as you said earlier.
The fight's on. Beyond May 16th, we want. I've met with Salvini. I've met with French leaders. I've got arrangements.
By the way, I pledge to you, I'll be at the May 16th event.
Well, beyond May 16th, the next one beyond that, what we want to do is have every capital city in Europe. This is about culture.
Well, I apologize, I didn't come to that.
Yeah, we want every. It's about European culture and identity of every nation, which have all got beautiful celebrations of their culture and their identity. All of them are disappearing. Whereas mass immigration flooded those nations as the growth of the demographic of the Islamic community, they're changing beyond belief. At some point, Europe needs to unite. I've looked at all these groups.
And people ask, why can 6, 7, 8% suddenly flip? Because they all vote as a bloc. They all act as a bloc. The West is in a coma. Out with the left, that's enough to take over.
They act as a military, in military fashion. They vote in military fashion. You're going to have it here, America. You've got brave people. So you have already, you're ahead of the game, really, because you've got congressmen willing to talk up. I've spoke to some of them. I'm going to speak to some more.
Well, because we've seen you getting vaporized.
You've managed to see Europe. But then at the same time, it's still a risk. It's still, but although you had 95% vote last night against Sharia, that should hopefully inspire the Republican Party in many
ways. Yeah, tell people about that. The majority of the states are moving to put it on the ballot to ban Sharia.
They are. 95% voted in the primaries to ban Sharia in Texas. I've just looked. Our next video is ready, and our next video is about, I don't know if I just said this I said it on a previous interview. When I come to America, I've met politicians, I've met, influencers, I've met YouTubers, I met all these people. I want to meet real Americans. So I approached a couple of Americans who live in Plano, whose grandmother lived there, mother lived there, and they've had to flee. They've had to flee because she was under harassment from Muslims already in the community. And I went to speak to her and tell her story. She breaks down crying. It's heartbreaking to see this is happening to America.
Is that video ready? When's going to be at Tommy Robinson?
It's ready. It's going on TommyInUSA.com in the next couple of hours.
All right, we're
going
to post it. You asked for a video an hour ago. We forgot to play it. What was it? It's a minute and a half long.
The video. This is our demonstration. If you want to see what's happening and you want to see how awake this country, I've worked for a decade, you know, over a decade. I've been banging my head against a brick wall. Now the dam has burst. Trust me. People are awake. People are ready. No matter how much disinformation, they still want to discredit me. They want to turn the public against me. They want to portray I'm making millions and millions, which I'm not.
A lot of videos. What's the name of this video we're about to play?
Watch it now. This is our demonstration September 13th. Have a look at this start of this demonstration and see the numbers on this demonstration.
Here it is.
Start to finish. Watch it. Revolution's happening.
United the Kingdom march yesterday led by Tommy. So between 110,000 according to the mayor, 150,000.
The official police estimates are between 110,000 and 150,000.
It looks approaching as big as the Iraq war demonstration all those years ago, and that was 1 million people.
I'm quite convinced there was over 1 million.
Certainly, I knew people there who were saying, like, 3 million. It wasn't 3 million. It wasn't 1 million. More than 100,000 people gathering to march in central London, a sea of flags.
Jackie says, 150k, I reckon millions
Black
were there.
Lives, they had to close Black Lives Bridge and Lambeth Bridge because there were so many people the other side, they couldn't
150,000 attending yesterday. Are you serious? Look at the drone footage.
Westminster Square was packed solid. The road going up where the march was going to follow was solid.
Lying police and mainstream media are trembling.
Absolutely incredible. People need to visit your official site. You also have a site that's going on just for your trip to the United States, TommyInUSA.com, TommyInUSA.com. And I know you're not sure how long you're going to be here, but at least another month or so. You tell me when and where to be there. I haven't announced this yet. We were not sure until this morning, but the receiver is not going to pay the bills for the internet, and they want to, like, pull the plug. The state of with the corrupt courts. So, barring a miracle, we'll be shut down because it keeps getting pushed out. But now, officially, sometime in early April. So we need to have that transition. But whether it's before or after that, I want to go to some events. I want to hang out with you, brother. We love you.
Let's do it, bro. And you know, since that event, put the fear of God into them. Do you know the relentless attacks I've faced since then to try and discredit me? I get called. I'm reading some of the comments on yours. I get called a shill. We're working for Israel. I was invited by the Polish government. I went there. No one said I was working for Poland or paid by Poland. I got invited. I'm here now in America. No one's saying the American government are paying me. When India went to war with Pakistan, I jumped straight out on the side of India. No one said India were paying me. But this accusation of Mossad and all that, it's used as a weapon to try and discredit people to stop them.
I mean, here's the deal. A lot of them do it because it makes them feel better than you. That's been in prison all these times and
a lot of them do it
fought so hard. Makes them feel like a bigger man in their basement with a fake name to say that about you. And there's a lot of big money behind it, a lot of money funding it. They say, I work for Israel. I don't even respond to them, Tommy. Nobody cares.
Unless you hate Jews, you work for Israel.
Do what?
Unless you hate Jews, you work for Israel.
Well, my thing is, you know, they say whites are inherently bad, all the rest of the stuff. I have people on from all perspectives.
Yeah.
And what we're having is a large debate, a large discussion. But I want to do this. Because we did this on New Year's, and I left one of these here, and Tommy saw me with it. He goes, what is that? It's just some confetti. But the point is, I want to celebrate the fact you're here. I know you don't drink, that's good, with some champagne. But, man, I really admire you.
Thank you, Alex.
The things you've done. But, brother, I admire people that are strong, that have changed the world, that have been right. And, I mean, I can't think of anybody. And just like there's a whisper campaign against me, there's a whisper campaign against you. Anybody over the target is going to be under attack. And the real people out there, remember race, color, and creed, they know mavericks, they know outlaws, they know people that are on the cutting edge, and we're doing it. And I'm telling you, Trump's been more persecuted than anybody. I've been persecuted really bad. You've been persecuted probably worse than anybody. And it's a testament to the fact that you've told the truth and you've been vindicated. So we love you, Tommy Robinson. But I got to say, what a celebration. Boom, baby.
So, come on.
It is so exciting. All right, closing comments, and then I'm going to go to break. My son, Rex Jones, is coming in here because I haven't interviewed him in years. And before this place shuts down, I want to get Rex on air with his co-host, with his popular podcast. And that's really the exciting thing is the bad guys at the Berlin Security Conference 3 weeks ago, at Davos, they admit, we have no confidence. Nobody believes us. We're in trouble. Their internal documents show that. Their globalist order's wrecked. We have to now come into the vacuum and build the pro-Western, pro-Christian relaunch of society. And then stand, because just because the globalists are falling apart, what they already set up is still attacking. And we have to reconstitute and call out the enemy. And we're doing it right now.
The counter-revolution's here. And what you need to do in America is you need to get ready. Because as I said, all the problems I've talked about, all the things I've faced, they're here. They've imported it here. They've purposely organized it to come here. And to the black voters who have been kept on the plantations by the Democrat Party, because that's where they wanted you. They want you reliant on the state. They want you broken. They want you in criminality. Because they want you voting for the Democrats. They don't want you to aspire to do better. Well, they're replacing you. They're replacing you with a block Muslim vote. You can see it now. You can see it in your communities. You'll be able to see it because they will organize. They won't aspire and start voting for Trump. They will organize the Muslim vote. They will get the Muslim vote, loyal, organized. You will become irrelevant just as white English become irrelevant in many of our towns and cities. Get organized, America. They've imported that problem. It's here.
Absolutely. Now, I'm going to continue on for about 20 minutes, and then the guest hosts are taking over, but I want you to enjoy this Texas barbecue.
I can't wait, man.
And then we're getting steaks tomorrow night, but you're speaking at a church tonight, right?
I'm going to a church tonight, yeah. I'm going to a church tonight to understand what the church are doing, because if the church don't wake up, I believe your church is starting to wake up, or some of them are, our church betrayed us, our church side of Islam. Our church fly rainbow flags. There's a Christian revolution happening. It's not happening within the church. It's happening on the streets. It's happening with young men. And the church betrayed all of us. So I don't think that's a state in America across all your churches. So I'm going to a church tonight. You can follow and see the upload of that video and what that church is doing to awaken its own fellowship on TommyInUSA.com.
And they can follow what you're doing there.
TommyInUSA, every video. I think we've been here 10 days. We've done 50 videos.
You've done well, Lord Vader.
Yeah, we're doing well. We're telling the story, interviewing people, giving inspiration to... Well, I come here to hear from politicians who speak openly in America to try and inspire some of those weak, pathetic cowards back home.
Incredible. I tell you, I wanted to meet you. It was even better than I thought. Tommy, we love you.
Exactly.
And I'll see you in a little while. Get some of that barbecue. But you get in there and enjoy it. We're going to go to break. Bring in my son, Rex Jonas, co-host. Stay with us.
Cheers, bro. Alex.
Cheers, brother. Love you.
Thank you, man.
Great job, brother. We love you so much, brother.
Yeah. I'll see you tomorrow for dinner.
Yep. Go to the promo, guys.
I'll see you in a bit for the interview.
Yes, sir.
Show something extra. Little thing I point heart.
I think his mom, like, drank when she was pregnant or something.
Attaboy, JD. Hustle, hustle.
I believe in you, JD. Don't listen to those motherfuckers.
I know your heart's on the football field, but I need your head in history class, Mr. Vance.
Yes, Vance, yes.
That stupid freak will never make the team. He's a loser.
Fuck you, Gavin. You and your dad are both gay.
Damn it, Vance, I wish I had 100 of you. If only you could get those godforsaken test scores up.
If you ask a hot chick to prom, I'll give you a C because history smiles upon the bold.
Asking me for my permission to ask my daughter to prom is a really classy move.
Vance passed history. Now let's go beat the shit out of the Soros High Goblins.
My friends know that I usually think everything's a scam from supplements and products and vitamins. I don't take anything. I usually buy it, try it, don't feel the results, end up tossing it and wasting money. So I love Alex Jones and the InfoWars crew, and Alex kept playing this video of Robert Kennedy Jr. putting some blue drops in what looked like water. And I wanted a way to support the team, so I decided to buy this methylene blue. This methylene blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and methylene blue. Get it while you can.
categories are. That's a globalist. Next up, 9/11, followed by famous fentanyl overdose deaths. Then we've got It's a Man Baby. Finally, we've got What a Fag. Notice F-A-G is in quotations there. Don, we'll start with you.
Let's try fag for $400, Alex.
Harry Sisson, an online content creator.
What is a massive fucking faggot?
That's it. Don, you've got the board.
Let's go fag for $600, Alex.
California Governor Gavin Newsom.
What is a total fag?
Oh, so close, but not quite there. Yes, Alex?
What is a raging faggot?
Raging indeed. Alex, go ahead and choose the next category.
Let's do famous fentanyl overdose deaths for
$1,000. Hey, that's not a real $20 bill. This random criminal became the face of a George Soros color revolution in 2020.
Who is St. Floyd?
I'm checking with the judges. And yes, St. Floyd or George Floyd both work here. Alex, next category, please.
Let's go with It's a Man Baby for $1,000.
Daily Double. Alex, what would you like to wager on this one?
So let's make it a true Daily Double, Alex.
This former First Lady is built like a linebacker, and many have suggested she is actually a he.
Oh, boy, who is Big Mike?
Big Mike or Michelle Obama? Absolute pythons for arms, and maybe one in her pants as well. Alex, you've got control. Go ahead.
We are the number one hated and attacked media organization in the world by every evil, disgusting, sickening organization on the face of the planet. And I'm going to say it. If you're going to go, go as big as you can. That's why John Hancock literally saw people signing their names, little bitty, and people he knew signed them. You really couldn't tell who they were, and I get it. Every person signing that was signing their potential death warrant. He got up there and went, boom! And he said, if I'm going to have the king coming after me, I want him to come after me, number one.
That's a pretty large signature, Johnny.
Yeah, I'm going to risk my life fighting tyranny. Anybody that's ever been in fights, you're not looking for fights, but you've been in a few. You learn, you hesitate when somebody's trying to beat the hell out of you. You're going to get your ass kicked. But you just decide to beat the living hell out of them and stop worrying about who's winning. And you're going to win almost every time unless you're fighting Mike Tyson. I know people will knock you upside the head really hard and like sit back and look at what it did. Or somebody will hit you in the side of the head with a baseball bat, then they'll kind of sit back and watch to see what it did. I'm like a Terminator. You're about to find out.
I'll shove that bat up your ass and turn you into a popsicle.
So that's what's going on here. And I love it because we're drawing their fire. We've exposed them. We've drawn them out of their rat holes. To do all of this, the Soros scum and the Soros DA, just all of them, they're filth. They're disgusting tyrants. Just like judges in Nazi Germany or Soviet Russia. They're disgusting. And it's like we're in the dark and they got night vision. We're in a pitch black arena with no light and they've got their illuminators on and they can see us and we can't see them. Well, guess what? I walked over with my listeners collectively and pulled the switch and turned the lights on.
The real war's here with the globalists and Soros and Obama and the New World Order and BlackRock. They've declared war on us, and we accept the challenge. We're taking the country back.
Their attacks on Trump, their lawfare, their all the criminal activity, how'd that work out for them? They were dumb enough to brag, remember, everywhere. It'll be over for Trump when this mugshot comes out in Georgia. We're finally getting it. Every channel, remember? It's the end, the mugshot, the mugshot, the mugshot. And then Trump nails it with a beyond Clint Eastwood, badass American Eagle gaze of total defiance that everybody looks at and knows deep down, that's the alpha male, that's the badass, that's the defiant real person. You can't fake that look. And then when they shot him, you got even more of that look, except the lips pulled down and the teeth bared and the eyes bugging out. Yes, yes, we get to see who's really who at times like this, don't we? And now the bad guys are going to find out who's really who, aren't you? Because the veneer of civilization is burning off. And all the posers and all the thugs and all the bullies who thought they had this country on its knees and cowed are now just beginning to understand that they have awoken the terrible giant.
Well, what a day. I wanted to get Rex Jones. I've been watching his show. I'm with his co-host, Tim Tompkins, The Gray Zone, on just to talk about
the gray area.
Close.
The gray zone, the gray area.
We're not Max Blumenthal just yet.
That's right, the gray area. So good to, by the way, I think he's on tomorrow. So Rex and your co-host, Tim Tompkins, great to have you here. What is your, both of you, your view on where the world is right now today?
Well, I think me and Tim are both very passionately anti-war people. We're very disturbed by what's going on in the Middle East, also domestically with the Epstein files.
And but is your Qatari agent?
Yes, of course. Heil Lumer, that's what we say. But at the end of the day, we want our government to work for us, and that's what our show is about. I know that me and Tim are both very passionate about talking to real people and doing really high-quality interviews. We've done a lot of them. We've had a lot of the show hosts on and some other people. Tim, to you, what do you think the most important thing about the gray area is?
I think the most important part about the gray area is not taking a specific stance on one side or the other. I think a lot of the time in society today is they've got a lot of extremism on either side. And so the whole point is we dive a little layer deeper to understand the facts behind some of the stories. That way you can actually find the truth there. And I think that's one of the major points.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's not even being partisan or bipartisan. The thing I like to say is we consider ourselves to be centrist, right? But not in the sense of being like a milquetoast fence sitter, in the sense of, hey, you see a good idea on the right, you take that. You see a good idea on the left, you take that. And then we're post-duopoly. And I feel like, Dad, that's what your show's always been about.
Yeah, but back then, the Republicans and Democrats were all controlled, so it was a fake left-right paradigm.
Right.
These left-right, with Trump, it's a populist movement. It's him getting away from populism now that's the problem. So people say, I always hear, like, left-right paradigm, I coined the term. They're throwing it at me. But it's different with us taking over the Republican Party. But, I mean, I get what you're saying.
Sure. Well, I mean, for Tim, I mean, you were a Democrat at one point, right?
Yeah.
And COVID was your awakening.
It was my awakening. So 2020... I didn't have any access to information. I lived in New York, born and raised in Connecticut as well. And essentially, you know, I look at it like this. I didn't have access to information when it came to the COVID-related vaccine. They absolutely mandated that I had to get a shot because
That's
I was
right.
in college at the time, right?
That's right.
So the thing is I didn't know what was in the vaccine, but all
literally
I knew
of the Bill Gates venom.
Oh yeah, Bill Gates venom is the easiest way to describe it. And the thing is that when it came to the vaccine,
Bill Gates' mystery shot.
Oh yeah. Well, they said, look, you can't go to school if you don't get the vaccine shot. You can't hang out with friends if you don't get a vaccine shot. I'm an engineer, so I'm hands on. I had no shot. They put a gun to my head. Essentially, they told me, you either get it.
Did you have any health problems from it?
Honestly, as soon as I took the mask off and you had the year after, it was awful. I was sick every other week.
Well, then it suppresses your immune system.
Yeah. It was the worst experience ever. I think the thing for me that bothered me the most is I didn't have access to information. They came out with an article in, after COVID, and they essentially said this. They said, Zuckerberg was censoring COVID-related topics. And they had already gotten the Jones family off the internet by
sure.
that point. So I had no ability to actually say, okay, what was this vaccine doing? You see that death click counter that they had
death
in the
clock,
top?
Yeah.
Death clock, right? 2019, in 2020. They had a death clock on CNN, and they basically said, granny dying, granny dying, granny dying, granny dying. And that was the thing that made me feel completely afraid. But I want to speak specifically to the information about why I didn't get access to what the Jones family was talking about during that time period. They had killed you guys off of every single piece of media, and I had a serious problem with that. Rex, we've talked about this, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, 100% we've talked about this. And it's about creating an environment where we all have informed consent as to what goes on in our society, and they took that informed consent away from you. They said, you don't get to be an engineer. You don't get to go to school. You have to not kill grandma. You have to take this experimental shot with no safety testing, no data on it, and infinite liability shield for them.
And what's it like now to be vindicated that they knew it was deadly poison?
It's the worst part about it. You know you have to really mess up to get a black African-American that lives in New York. 90% of blacks vote Democrat, by the way. So
sure.
For me to shift from being all the way left to now pushing to the right means that you really had to do something wrong. And it was everything about my rights being taken away to information.
Well, that's the thing, though. We have the populist movement. We're winning. And I see Trump going sideways. I'm not gonna apologize for you, Trump. Great things got done. I just hope we can salvage Trump.
Sure. Well, I think it's, you know, a decade long project, and I think things have changed a lot since the start of it. I think the core populist ethos, really what we've always embodied here at InfoWars, I think that's still alive and strong, and you're seeing a lot of pushback to what's happening right now, and I think that that's a part of it. I mean, we demand the Epstein files. We demand peace. We do not demand war, and we're living in a society now where somehow it's the tough thing to go over there and bomb elementary schools to start a war. Ultimately,
now we've learned that they deleted, a hacker did in 2023, 100 terabytes.
Go figure. Go figure.
And they believe it.
Yeah, they just cleared another 65,000 off as well.
And they curate the message itself too. You can't get access to the information. You know what they said about the Jones family during that time period? They called you guys schizophrenic. They said they don't know what they're talking about. They're extremists.
Dangerous.
You have to. They called you guys dangerous, and so I felt propagandized to it. But then when I actually had the chance to meet Rex,
you got to know each other.
I got to meet you. I got to know your sister Charlotte. I got to meet the people and the family here at InfoWars. You guys have been nothing but kind to me, and that is the thing that is not being shown on the information that is out there. They just say, oh, these guys have just said these things, they're bad, put them in this box.
Sure, I mean, they like to demonize us, they'll call us racist, they'll call us sexist, they'll call us, you know, anti-
But what we do is we just show them what the document.
Yeah, 100%, but I think the message of the show that me and Tim really do is we're Americans. I come from Texas, he comes from New York. I'm white, he's black, and we're close on nearly everything, even though we disagree.
That's right, at Gray Area Talks on X, goprimalcore.com. Stay with us.
Show unity.
We're engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at TheologyShowStore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high-quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose absolutely free with our creatine. The Alex Jones Store.
We're gonna make it, men!
Now look here. Even to this very day, I still have my trusty old trench knife from the war.
At TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Hello, friends. Welcome to my home. We have all kinds of supplements. Sometimes we have BOGO Sups. We're always coming out with new products, and this is one of my favorites. You can shop for all of our supplements and apparel right here on the phone app.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
I've got a lot coming up in the next hour. You're going to be co-hosting, host of the Gray Area. But wow, what do you make of this primary around the country? What does it portend? We got I. Patch McCain, lost by 15 plus points. Dan Crenshaw, that's a great thing.
Yeah, I think the American public by large rejects the neocon agenda. They also reject the crazy left wing agenda of people like Jasmine Crockett. And you know, here's the thing. We talk about this in the show, don't we, Tim? Like, people, they've lost a lot of faith in the elections. They say, what's the point in voting? Why does it matter? Who cares anyway? Really, we see, especially in these local and state races, and we've had a lot of these candidates on, like Fishback. Aaron Baker, Casey Putsch. Like, we see real change there. What do you think?
Grassroots campaigns need more visibility, honestly.
Absolutely.
Because you know they're not part of the establishment, and you know that their brains haven't been kind of brainwashed into a system. And so I liked seeing people like James Fishback come out, say everything that he's got to say and not be censored.
Sure. And agree, disagree, whatever. The point is we want people that are going to be honest with us as voters about what they're actually going to do.
Well, the bigger lie is there's frauds that don't vote. There's only on average 10% fraud baked in. They can't beat landslides.
Right.
And so that's why people have got to, I Nick Fuentes on his show, I get he's mad, but he's like, don't vote, vote Democrat. No, it's the opposite. You can't even vote for Trump in the next election.
No,
no, can't even vote for good Republicans.
Yeah, who do you think's going to run in 2028?
Oh, it's going to be J.D. Vance, Marco Rubio.
Yeah? You don't think Massey will run?
No, no shot. Yeah. I don't even think the Republicans are going to support him, to be honest. I think he's done enough damage, but I support some of the things that he's doing behind the Epstein files, but I don't think he has enough of the Republican base to actually.
Well, I just,
that whole story that MTG wants to run, she wants to be out of it. Democrats are going to put her in prison. She saw Trump on the Epstein files. She was done. She wants out.
Yeah. Well, I think that's readily apparent and clear to every American that's paying attention. We want to see the promises made, promises kept, don't we, Tim?
100%. Honestly, the major sticking point for me, immigration, all the things that came with the no wars. And now you see everything that's happening with Iran. It's complete opposite of what we asked for when we went in. Honestly, I would still rather have Trump than Biden at the end of the day. Biden had no backbone. America was behind the bar.
Sure. Everybody so what like do we do then? Because Trump's gone. We can't vote for him anyways.
We got to.
So why are we
going to
blame Republican candidates if they're patriots?
We got to demand change from our elected officials that are in cabinet positions or appointed positions in government right now. If they're.
Well, that's right. Because the white pillars say whatever Susie Wiles says submit to. We need to not take our ball and go home. We need to put major pressure on Trump to do the right thing.
Sure, I would call that the true black pill, to do everything that Susie Wiles says. You know, do everything the American people say. How about that?
But do you really think Trump cares at this point? Or even Vance? Like, what do you actually feel about their true agenda?
I see them responding. I when they see the pressure from the public, it works. People that say just go home and give up. That's the Democrats.
Well, you really see Rubio being sneaky. And I think Rubio is really setting himself up for a 2028 major run. I think he was really disappointed. You know, at one time he was almost pulling head to head with Trump in 2016. I think he wants that spot. You've seen him come in and kind of sabotage some of the Iran dealings going on right now, kind of making little aside remarks and saying, oh, I didn't say that. But it's all targeted towards the administration. I think they all share blame.
Yeah, he came out and said Israel attacks. We had to attack.
Ain't that interesting?
So I want to think about this way. Like, I think Vance is the one that has to come in next. Honestly, when he went on Joe Rogan, that kind of exposed me to his human side as well as just a relatable person. He kind of has my vote on the next run. But do you support Vance?
No, not currently, no. No, I really, really, really demand an end to the wars, and I demand the Epstein files be released. And ultimately, you look at someone like Tulsi Gabbard, and we all love Tulsi Gabbard. We like RFK Jr. too. But if you're going to sell a shirt that says no war for Iran for $40, I'm sorry, I can't support you politically when you're behind it. Mm. You see what I'm saying?
I mean, except that you have the Democrats, they're 100 times worse.
Sure.
I mean, who wants AOC in any position?
Well, good news is Jasmine Crockett's out of Congress, which I kind of wish she was still there. You know, the entertainment value is insane. All right. The gray area with Rex Jones and Tim Hopkins takes over right now. And then in about 55 minutes, we have Harrison Smith, the War Room. And I'm going to be following special reports and more straight ahead. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Drews and Tim on X.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling 3 emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and 2 others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get 1 or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support. have U.S. senators in both parties saying we may need to go ahead and nuke Russia first, and the Russians are aware that's almost happened before, what do you think that makes the Russians do? Well, it makes them go into war mode. So I don't like them invading Ukraine. I don't like him putting his nuclear forces on maximum alert. Only one level above that on their DEFCON, just like our system, and that's fire the weapons. And so now we have Democrats all over the news saying, let's just use nuclear weapons on Russia. Think of their ignorance. Russia has hundreds of submarines off our coast with sea-launched missiles that would vaporize our cities within 5 minutes on average of being launched. Sea-launched cruise missiles that fly at Mach 5. Land launch systems they can also launch from ships that are at Mach 9 and cannot be shot down. And yes, the United States has those too. That's a Pentagon lie that Russia developed systems that we don't have. It's on record the U.S. has those systems. The point is, it's called mutually assured destruction or MAD for a reason, because anyone that would violate the MAD doctrine is insane. And you know, I'm on the side of not having a nuclear war, especially when Russia's not starting a fight with us, and especially after we just heard for years that everything happening in this country is run by Russia, when that was all a giant lie. The globalists are the outside evil force. For me, with everything going on, the big takeaway is the world is in a fourth turning, a mega change. The globalists know that. Their plan is failing. And just because we're opposing them doesn't mean things aren't going to derail and get really, really nasty. It just means coming out of all these crises, we have a shot of building a civilization and having some civilization survive and then rebooting it and building something even better going into a new golden era. Anyone in general not rooting for Trump and his economic plans is insane. And for the left, not to share, but around the world that want economic collapse, believing they're going to bring in their new socialist utopia or communist utopia on its ashes, in all the actuaries and all the futurist studies and all the Rand Corporation analysis and my own, and there's really nobody, including the establishment, that thinks you're going to get your New World Order, transhumanist, you know, communist, Great Reset now. That's what everyone's rebelling against. That's the old system that they were trying to push as the new system. But just because that's falling apart, again, doesn't mean that we're out of the woods. And I came across articles today talking about rich enclaves in the United States, and there's others around the world, where the ultra-rich don't want to be next to a big city. They don't want to be next to the glitz and glamour. There's mass exoduses to rural areas where they're building armored redoubts where you'll have 20 to 30 to 40 rich people, and I mean people building $40 million houses and bunkers, ahead of what's happening. And then there's even more ultra-rich that have all sorts of hidden facilities in the middle of nowhere. And the ultra-rich have giant fleets of yachts and flotillas where you've got a lot of these Google billionaires will have a line of 6-7 ships, some that are just massive. And they own private islands in the South Pacific, but then they also know things are so dangerous that they're ready to flee there. So that acceleration of people running for the hills and building their bunkers has been going on for a long time, but it's just peaking and peaking and peaking is a big deal. So when you got signs like that, it gives you a little bit of an idea of what we're navigating here. Yeah, here he is this year warning of Terminator-style apocalypse. Oh, well, you can go back to 2005, 6, where I did reports on that. But now this information is everywhere. And like I've said to Zuckerberg on air and in other ways, in the last few years, I said, you better come and join us. You better stop attacking us from behind. If you think you're going to be safe in that armored fortress you've built there in Kauai, think again. I'm not threatening you. I can tell you I love Kauai. I've been there many times. The last few times I went, I cannot go to a store, to the beach, anywhere, or go on a fishing trip without everybody telling me how they can't wait till things collapse to come get you. I mean, the villagers practically have their torches lit. Well, Zuckerberg's got escape yachts as well, and reportedly an escape submarine, an underground deal. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. The point is, guys, that's not going to protect you long-term if stuff collapses. What's going to protect you is getting out of what you're doing and helping turn civilization and society around, okay? And if you think during a total collapse at a few weeks or a few months into it that your security detail isn't going to turn on you, that's a whole other thing.
Well, welcome.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show, hosted by Rex Jones and Tim Tompkins of Gray Area Talks, which you can find on YouTube, Rumble, and X. We are taking over the fourth hour live here in studio. Now, me and Tim, we do a show every Thursday, and we do a show every Sunday. And Sunday is our marquee show. We've always got a phenomenal guest for like an hour, hour and a half. We do News Blitz, Deep Dive. It's like a 3-4 hour show. It's incredible. We've been having a phenomenal time doing it. We're about to hit episode 54. We've done hundreds of hours together, Tim.
Hundreds of hours together. And it's a privilege to be on the show right
Absolutely.
Now.
I feel the same way.
And, you know, we normally do that deep dive on Sunday, but we're actually going to give you guys a sneak peek today as well.
That's right.
Super excited. The way the deep dive works is essentially we take a topic, let's say the Iran war is going on, Epstein files, whatever it is. We go a layer deeper than what most shows are talking about. We
Sure.
look at the history, we look at the context, we look at the bigger, larger picture that no one's talking about, and we give you guys context. That way you can have extra information in order to arm yourself.
Yes, and to give a little breakdown, a little sneak peek of what we covered last week, we covered the whole situation with Iran, not the current conflict. We covered that as well, of course, but the origin story, their system of government, their war against Iraq, their history with Saddam Hussein, their history with our own government, and of course, the Shah. The Pahlavi family.
Yes.
So if you want really high quality, high level breakdowns like that, every Sunday we're live for you and every Thursday we're live for you as well. But like we said, it's an honor and a privilege to get to be here in studio with y'all tonight. We have a few things we want to talk about. How are you feeling about that Iran war?
It's getting wild, more and more wild. Honestly, there's no way I can describe it. I never would have thought in a million years that we would get to this point.
Sure.
This time is different. Honestly.
Yes.
I mean, we killed the Supreme Leader and the Supreme
killed the
leader-
Pope.
Yeah, the Supreme Leader is essentially the Pope. It's like second to God for the Iranian people. So it is a very big deal. And when you back an animal into a corner, you know what they're going to do? They're going to lash out. They're going to fight. And that's what we're seeing right now. And this isn't going to end anytime soon. I think everybody's
sure.
aware of that at this point.
And it's very tragic. Here's the thing. Both me and Tim, we got different positions, different perspectives. We disagree. We debate all the time. That's what makes the gray area so fun is we're not, you know, 100% aligned on everything. So we get
yes.
to have that real dialogue. That being said, me and Tim are both pro-peace, anti-war voters.
100%.
And as young people, you have to look at this situation. And here's the thing. People say, oh, you're being critical of Trump. You're criticizing the dear leader. Here's my thing. I voted for him twice. I supported the man since I was like 15 years old. And to me, what's going on right now is the antithesis of everything that I voted for. And people like my dad would say, well, Democrats are a lot worse. I would go, yeah, I agree with you. But ultimately, we're over there right now. Six Americans have died.
And the number's going to keep going up from there.
Sure.
At the end of the day. Do we got any clips that we want to talk
about? Yeah, we do. We do have a compilation, but I want to get into that. The rationale for us going in there, we've heard this from many people, heard this just on the show. Iran must not have a nuclear weapon. Iran must not have a nuclear weapon. They're days, weeks, months away from making it. You know, Netanyahu's been making that claim since 1994. I want to roll this compilation. We'll give commentary after.
The deadline for attaining this goal is getting extremely close.
And Iran, by the way, is also outpacing Iraq in the development of ballistic missile systems that they hope will reach the eastern seaboard of the United States within 15 years.
By next spring, at most, by next summer, at current enrichment rates, they will have finished the medium enrichment and move on to the final stage. From there, it's only a few months, possibly a few weeks. Before they get enough enriched uranium for the first bomb.
The foremost sponsor of global terrorism could be weeks away from having enough enriched uranium for an entire arsenal of nuclear weapons.
That would place a militant Islamic terror regime weeks away from having the fissile material for an entire arsenal of nuclear bombs.
If not stopped, Iran could produce a nuclear weapon in a very short time. It could be a year. It could be within a few months, less than a year.
Okay, that's all we need. That's all we need for now. That's all we need for now. We can go ahead and go into it. So here's the thing, right? Iran must not have a nuclear weapon. Iran must not have a nuclear weapon. They're days, months, weeks away from getting it. That's not what this is really about. It's really about the Iranian ballistic missile program and their potential to hammer Israel. And, like, that's what we're fighting for right now, guys. Tim, what's your take on that?
I think you can't trust the reason on the surface. This is the same thing that in Venezuela we said, oh, it's not about the oil. It's about
Uh-oh.
The drugs. It's about all the other things except for the oil. Right.
Sure.
But we knew internally that it was for the oil.
Right.
But when I look at the Iran situation, I think the nuclear program, it has some legitimacy, but again, there's another layer behind there that people have to pay attention to. And it is the fact that it's not just Israel that has interest in that region. It's also the Gulf countries.
Yes.
In the Gulf countries, we have bases there, right?
100%.
And they want those bases specifically for protection. But also, you got to understand, Iran and the Gulf countries don't get along with each other.
Sure.
It's because you've got Sunni and Shiite.
Sure.
Right?
Absolutely.
So those two religious aspects to Iran in itself sets the stage. And you don't think that MBS is in Trump's ear saying, we gotta go in there.
Well, that came out because he was like, oh no, please do not invade, Mr. Trump, do not invade. But he's on the phone saying, you gotta invade now.
100%. And if they can get the United States and Israel to act, they basically get plausible deniability.
Sure. And they're very smart. They're very shrewd. That's what you have to understand about the Gulf countries. You talk about it all the time. These are monarchies that have a large population, large part of the population hates them and wants them gone. You don't stay in power without being smart.
No, not at all. And then there's another macro level argument to this. And, you know, you and I might not agree on this one, but
sure.
I think I would rather have the United States in that region rather than having China or Russia.
Well, that's the thing. Ultimately, and this is another key topic we talk about on the Gray Area Live Thursday and Sunday. Follow Gray Area Talks on Twitter and subscribe on YouTube and Rumble. Very important that you do that. We talk about this on the show. We reject the Star Wars story. It's always got the Rebel Alliance and they got one ship. They can blow up the Death Star. Got the evil empire. It's never like that. You have power interests. You have transnational capital. You have these circulations of money and power and influence that flow around. That's what we cover on the show.
Well, here's the thing. Whether you like it or not, Iran is there. And if the United States wasn't there, there would be a power vacuum in which another country that has more power than Iran would step in. And that specific country is China, right? You guys got to understand, China completely operates different than the United States. I would almost say in certain aspects, they're like totalitarian in terms of how they run their government and their people. China has been competing in places like Africa, South America. They give these giant loans in order.
Belt and Road, yes.
They give these giant loans in order to actually own the companies themselves as well as the countries, and they're in debt, right? So they have their own interests. Everyone labels America as the bad guy. But that's only half the story. The thing is that we do have interest in those regions, but we also want to make good progress and make the change for the better. China, on the other hand, they're not like that, dude.
Sure.
They have their own specific interests. And if you don't think they have specific evil intentions to also have their own initiatives,
sure,
you're completely wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. I think another factor to look at is Russia, right? Because you can say, well, we've lost all this blood and treasure in the Middle East. What's it all been for? What's it all been about? Well, we've been really highly successful at pushing the Russians out of that area. And it's very close to Eastern Europe and the Slavic countries over there, right? So you look at Syria as an example. Assad was backed by the Russians. And what did we do? We made it so it was impossible for Putin to put his troops or put his military assets down there. Bing, bang, boom. We do the color revolution, put the old head of Al-Qaeda in charge of the country, formerly Al-Julani, now Al-Shara. And he comes to the U.S., he shakes Trump's hand, and he meets with General Petraeus at a weapons conference. So we can make the argument that it is technically for, quote unquote, the interests of America. Now, is it for the interests that I voted for peace, for liberty around the world? Probably not. But is it for power? Absolutely.
It is for power. And then also at the
same time. You're ignorant if you don't say it's for power, too.
It is.
Yeah, 100%.
And the thing is that these countries know we've been in a. People try to say that the Cold War ended way decades ago. It never stopped.
That's
these
right.
Countries have always been competing. China kind of stepped into the mix the early 2000s, and as they've grown, they've kind of replaced Russia on that top stand. But at the end of the day, this is a competition. And you know what? Everybody who's out there, the Iranian people, the American, the Israelis, all of their governments are acting in their own specific interest, and they don't care about the people themselves, right?
Yes.
If you go and you watch videos, I implore every single person to actually go on the internet, go watch some videos. There are Americans that go to Iran, and they basically ask the people, hey, what do you think about Americans? And you know what they say, Rex?
I like America.
Exactly. They say, we actually don't have any beef. It's our government that has beef. And you go around here, right? I don't hear the average American saying, I hate Iranians, right?
Yeah.
I mean, for the most part, everybody wants the same things. and the governments have their own interests, and that's really the power.
Absolutely, and it just seems like us, like we're supposed to be, or we claim to be, the richest country in the world, right? And we spend all this money on foreign wars, foreign conflicts, essentially just like peeing it away, right? We're on radio and TV, so I can't use the other word. But we essentially, we pee away all of our power, all of our blood and treasure, and for what? Ultimately, this is the thing I always maintain. You know what? So what if everyone was fat here and on EBT? You know, if there were, you know, a million less dead people in the Middle East, I think the other countries would treat us better and do better business. But I do understand the argument of, hey, everyone understands it's a war for power. Everyone's going to act in their own self-interest. So then we, by our nature as the hegemon or whatever we want to call ourselves, we have to be the strongest, the most vicious, the most violent. I thought Trump represented an end to that. And I think that's why we both voted for him, right?
Yeah, I voted because at the end of the day, when Biden was in the office, I was like, Kamala cannot win.
Sure.
The Russia-Ukraine war was out of hand. I mean, they were giving them long-range missiles, and Russia was threatening, like, nuclear war, all these different things. And we kept pushing the needle in that aspect. And I was like, you know what? At the end of the day, if Trump was in power at that point.
Sure.
That whole conflict wouldn't happen.
No, it absolutely doesn't.
The only thing that the United States was not supposed to do was move NATO any closer to Russia. That was the macro level argument there.
Since 1991, I think we moved 11 or 12 countries.
We lied to Russia in the 90s. We essentially said, the United States will not move one more inch with NATO. And what did we do? We kept taking other countries, kept throwing them in there. And all I'm saying is that Kamala, Biden, all of the rest of the people, I look at it and I'm like, look, you guys don't really know what you're doing there.
Sure.
And now I'm feeling the same thing in certain aspects with Trump. I'm like, I don't even know what the plan is here either.
Well, the thing is, when the person comes in and they're the empty suit and they make the generic political promise and they get elected and they do a horrible job, you're like, well, you're a politician. You're a bad one. It is what it is. We expect it from you. But with Trump, I think we both really felt like that we had like a stopgap, a foothold in there. We had a person that was actually going to say, no, I don't have to listen to you. I'm a billionaire. I'm self-made. I can do this myself. When in reality, I feel like he's just running the political apparatus right now.
100%. Now, I do have to give credit where credit's due. One of the things I did ask for was for America to actually show some strength at the end of the day and actually have a backbone. Now, I didn't know we were going to go full out conflict, but at the end of the day, I mean, you can recognize the fact that this is a show of power and a lot of countries know what America's capable of. I had no idea we could go into Venezuela, kill nobody, and specifically plop out the government and the head of state. I mean, did anybody think we were capable of that? I certainly didn't think of
it. Yeah, and it's definitely a shock and awe tactic. It definitely works. I'm morally, politically against it, and it's exactly what I voted against, to tell you the truth. I consider these things to be acts of war. I don't think you get to, you know, kill a pope. I don't think you get to blow up 100 fishing boats and say that it's drugs. I don't think you get to do these things, right? But this is the reason why we do the show, is because we know about these topics, not from, you know, any sort of arcane knowledge, but we've done the deep dives. We've done the research. Every single Sunday, and most Thursdays too,
yes,
we are live, and that's what we do, Tim. That's what you're so good at, is providing that information. Because what you just laid out, we did like an hour and a half or 2 hour long video on the NATO expansion. And if you haven't seen that, if you haven't seen that deep dive, you can go on our YouTube and find it. And here's the thing. If you're a new time viewer, a new time listener, a loyal InfoWars viewer or listener, and you've only seen me on ads, sell methylene blue or whatever, I really care about this. It's why we're both doing it. Me and you, we're businessmen, right? We're small business owners.
At the end of the day, yeah. 100%.
Yeah, we're small business owners. We work. We have employees. We care about the state of the country and whatnot. But we had to speak out about the current state of our nation, just everything going on, because it's too insane not to. And here's the message I want to give to people. I heard Fuentes like 2 months ago make the assertion that not everyone or most anyone can do a show. You're not supposed to do a show. Let the big boys handle it or whatever. I completely reject that. The message that I grew up being born into alternative media is everyone has a voice. Like Elon Musk says, we are the media now. We have to be out there speaking truth to power and being educated on these issues, because the thing they prey on is ignorance and low propensity voters that go out there and aren't aware of what's going on. And our entire show is built to fight that.
100%. Every single deep dive, I want to find out the deeper truth. I want to find out the information that they're not telling you, because information,
sure,
like you said, is everything. And
absolutely.
At the end of the day, you guys might think that, like, okay, well, you're being very critical of Kamala and Biden.
Being critical of Trump.
I'm critical
of everybody.
You go on our show, I'm critical of Trump.
Yeah.
I'm critical of every single person because I call out wrong is wrong, right is right.
Yes.
At the end of the day, it doesn't matter what color is associated with it.
100%. And they work for us. This is a key distinction that everyone seems to forget. It's like we must worship the dear leader. We must bow down to the dear leader. We must, so cool, so amazing, so fantastic. All these people are human beings. They all put on their pants one leg at a time. They all have to pee. They all have to eat. They all have to go to sleep, right? Nobody's special. Nobody's God but Jesus Christ. Okay. And I feel like a lot of the time there is this celebrity worship culture that has come into politics and really become strong since the time of Trump, and we reject that. You're an analytical guy. You're an engineer. You're a smart dude. And what we try to bring to the show is some intelligence and some learning, because Socrates said, I know that I know nothing. That's what the gray area is about, trying to learn a little bit more every day.
100%. And the thing that I'll also speak upon, is everything about the system as a whole and the people that are in it. We've no longer gotten to a point where it's all about merit anymore.
That's right.
It's about putting your best friend into power, right? And you're going to see when we talk about the Epstein files, it's all about favors, Rex. It's all about who did you do business with before? Who did you like? Had nothing to do with, is this person actually capable of doing
the job? Are they qualified?
Are they qualified? And that is the biggest thing that I see with our government. We do not put people in power and in positions that actually have the credentials to actually do the job itself.
Sure.
And they go with the gut feeling, you know what? I think today we should just make this economic policy. I think it looks good on paper, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And with no idea of the repercussions or no caring about the repercussions, really, most of these people are lawyers. So what they're good at is crafting an argument as to what they're doing is good. They don't even know what they're doing.
And the thing that I want to touch upon, you nailed it right on the head. They don't understand the long-term implications.
The second, third, fourth order thinking.
As you have new people coming into power each time, they're more interested in competing with each other on the party lines and saying, well, I hate this guy. We got to go after this guy. They are more interested in that than understanding how one economic decision actually has a decade-long impact.
Absolutely.
That is the bigger message here.
And we talked to Kyle Serafin, of course, frequent guest on this show. We had him live last Sunday. This is why you need to catch our deep dives, Gray Area Talks, Thursday and Sunday. You got to be there starting 7:30 p.m. live on X, Rumble, and YouTube. We had him on. We're like, well, how do these things work? And he's like, well, they get a directive and they follow it forever.
Yes. They make a rule, some crisis happens, then you go in and you realize, okay, we got to create rules, we got to figure it out, we got to make something happen. And then they go and they make that rule, and then you go a decade later, and then another decade, and then you kind of
a 3-hour tour, and we're on Gilligan's Island and we want off the island.
And you got to remember, these people forget about the original crisis itself and what actually made those rules. So then you just have one big soup. Just one big slop, and no one even knows why they're doing the thing. They're just going on autopilot.
That's right. And we're escaping the slop mines. We are freeing ourselves. We're providing ourselves powerful information and giving powerful information to our audience. We love everyone that goes to Gray Area Talks. Everyone's just listening to us right now. But go to our YouTube, go to our Rumble, go to our X, follow Truism Tim on X. See, it's right there in my profile. Gonna
want to
support us.
Yeah, we definitely appreciate any help that you guys can give. We actually do this for the love of the game at the end of the day and want to educate you guys. So.
We do. We love you. Thank you so much for being here with us. We will be right back on The Alex Jones Show.
Look here, even to this very day, I still have my trusty old trench knife from the war.
Order now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Hello, friends. Welcome to my home.
We have all kinds of supplements.
Sometimes we have BOGO Sups.
We're always coming out with new products, and this is one of my favorites.
You can shop for all of our supplements and apparel right here on the phone app.
We have a new product in at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force, but we brought it back, but even stronger. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity with no letdown and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact that it has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, at thealexshowstore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this and then looking at how they're organically derived and how each ingredient itself is a game changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at thealexshowstore.com.
Now, back to our program.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at thealexshowstore.com.
We're engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexshowstore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible highest quality concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high quality Shilajit. You get either or, you choose, absolutely free with our creatine. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. You're watching The Alex Jones Show. Tomorrow's news today.
Tell you, we love being live for you guys today. If this is your first time checking us out, I implore you, go to Gray Area Talks on X, go to Gray Area Talks on Rumble, go to Gray Area Talks on YouTube, and hey, follow my phenomenal co-host, Truism Tim. We're 53 episodes, about to be 54 episodes deep in the Gray Area Talks saga. We're having a really good time covering news, breaking it all down for you, doing the deep dives every single week. Wow, we're here in studios and we're covering heavy topics, but we are having a good time. I want to transition from talking about the war in Iran to talking about the Epstein files, which is, of course, the reason why the war in Iran is happening.
Yeah, it's a smokescreen.
I think we're all aware of that, okay? It's a distraction. So I want to show you this clip because there's a lot of weird happenings going on right now. And because Tel Aviv and Bahrain and the UAE and Dubai are burning, people aren't paying attention. Bill Clinton just got deposed. Bill and Hill, actually.
My name's Bill Clinton, and I promise, you know, Hillary told me that I can't eat babies anymore. She told me I can't talk about it in the hearing, but I'll do the four-hour deposition with you.
We're going to show you this clip of Bill Clinton talking about the famous dress painting. Let's go ahead and play it now.
Submitted to the record, we have a painting that seems to be of you, Mr. President, found in one of Jeffrey Epstein's residences wearing a...
Oh, no.
I would categorize it as a famous blue dress worn by the White House intern Monica Lewinsky. And I have this image here. This image is being passed around. So, Mr. President, we are looking at an image of a portrait that is looks to be you, Mr. President, in this blue dress. Can you describe this painting? And
he doesn't need to describe the painting. You just gave him a picture. What's your question?
My question is, are you familiar with this painting? Have you ever seen it in person?
I've never seen it in person.
You're lying.
Do you know why 100%. Someone would paint this?
Are you asking?
Objection. That's cause for speculation. You can ask the artist.
And if I had known Jeffrey Epstein had this painting, it would have saved me this whole day.
Sure, pimp. Sure. We all believe Slick Willie, right? That's literally his nickname.
Slick Willie.
And he also said the same deposition. You know, I've never perjured myself before Congress. When, of course, we all know he has. He's famous for it. Okay.
100%.
Mr. Depends on what the definition is. I mean, Bill Clinton, original political monster. There's a lot of them. And ultimately, everyone in the Epstein class are ruling elites. They're all implicated in this. So left and right, they're kind of unified. We need a distraction. But we're going to go into the deep dive here, which is not talking about the politicians who are really middle management. They're not the ones that run everything. The big money and big power interests. Who are those?
Yeah, so here's the thing that you guys got to understand. There are people that are listed on the Epstein files, and it is important, but people don't understand why they are important to begin
sure.
with. There are people that are on the files that actually decide whether or not you and I can put food on our tables. They decide the economic policies that actually create the standards for our living standards to begin with.
Sure. You know, I'm not trying to get in the middle of your deep dive here, but like the Sheikh or the Sultan that we covered, the head of DP, bad name for a company if you're going to be doing the things you're up to. But, you know, he just looks like a, you know, friendly, like little nerd guy, and he's a demon from hell.
Yes, he is a demon from
hell. And he controls, you know, global shipping.
So. 100%. And we're going to cover two specific people. We're going to cover one guy named Lawrence Summers, and then we're going to cover another guy called Leon Black. Awful, awful people. And the thing is that these people have gotten into such high positions of power. If they have the ability to do these things,
look at
what they
person.
Say on the Epstein files, look at this guy, right?
Do you let him babysit your children?
I would never. Absolutely wow. not. Look at this guy. Right? If they have the ability to do these things on the Epstein files, what would they do when it comes to making economic decisions for the American people? Do you think they're going to have our best interests in mind?
No, and that's exactly it. Here, cut back to us. Everything is downstream of this because a society that will put up with its elites, you know, barbecuing baby and, you know, PDF file stuff, they'll put up with anything. They'll put up with economic destruction. They'll put up with war. They'll put up with genocide because, hey, they're running the system. They're at the top. They're profiting from it, right? And it's just this wanton disregard and disdain really for human life because, you know, a big portion of the gray area is us talking about we like life. We like
yes,
being humans.
We love being human.
And these people don't act like human beings.
So let's get into the first guy, Lawrence Summer. You saw his photo there. Who actually is Lawrence Summer? So he's been the U.S. Treasury Secretary. He's been the president of Harvard. Top economic advisor to the U.S. president.
Sure.
And he's helped shape major U.S. financial and economic policy. Now, how is he connected to Epstein? Let's go ahead and pull up some of the Epstein files. Let's go to 2.1 on the tax haven. You can see here, you can quickly read this, right?
Sure. Yes and no. From Jeffrey Epstein to Lawrence Summers. Yes and no. Ask him where the $92 billion go. Hurricane relief, it's the next level down. Tax writers are more sophisticated to put everything on the front page. Opportunity zones, Puerto Rico is the digital tax haven.
Now, let's go ahead and pull up the him flying first class, and they're basically reimbursing him. That's going to be 2.2, but basically you can tell that Lawrence has a relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. That's all we need.
Oh, no. No one knew Epstein. He's just a school teacher that became a billionaire somehow. Les Wexner gave him power of attorney for no reason. What are you talking about? He only diddled a 17-year-old one time.
Right. Well, and then you can see in the photo here, requested to reimburse International Peace Institute for Lawrence Summers' flight. The ticket cost $14,000, guys. $14,000 for first class. That's what they're paying. That's what the institution, they're reimbursing him for that. And it's insane. I mean, they're basically flying these people around in order to, you know,
sure.
to little girls. But the thing that you need to understand about his connection to Epstein itself is that Epstein donated money to connected programs in Harvard.
That's right.
Right? And then they also had communications as we're seeing them here. And then the association became controversial after his crimes were known. But he was still dealing with the guy even knowing after Epstein was actually implicated. Which is the most crazy part.
You know, that reminds me of something. Mr. Howard Lutnick. You know, me and my wife, we went into Epstein's apartment, which was like 9 steps away from our apartment. And he had a massage table out. And I said, what kind of guy gets a massage every day? And he said, the right kind of massage. So I looked at my wife and my wife looked at me and I said, excuse me, we have to leave. And we walked out of there. We'll never meet with that creepy Jeffrey Epstein again. He takes his kids to the island in 2015.
He took his kids to the island after knowing exactly who that man was to begin with. the darkness.
Well, it
right?
shows, and here's the thing, we're not saying that like something happened to Lutnick's kids or whatever, God forbid. Ultimately, all these people are friends. They're buddy-buddy. They like each other. They hang out. They're boys.
Let's go barbecue.
You like little kids? Whatever, whatever. We don't care.
Yes.
That's Lutnick's attitude.
Right. Now, the layer deeper that we need to pay attention to is Lawrence and his connections to the government itself, because these are the things that actually have impacts on your, on my end, Rex's end, and every single person watching. This specific incident impacted you, right?
Sure.
So we have this thing called Glass-Steagall, right? It was signed by FDR. Basically, there was a bunch of reckless lending for stocks, trading terrible loans, and for a big reason why the actual depression happened. Do we have that 2.3 Steagall signed by FDR? Let's look at that photo there. So essentially what you got to understand is after the Great Depression, the government created a rule. They said, all right, look, banks hold people's savings. They cannot also make risky Wall Street bets. And that's a huge thing, right? So the rule separated commercial banks, like your checking, your savings, and then it separated the investment bank side, which is like your stocks, bonds, and trading. And it essentially created an entity for either. And that separation lasted for over 60 years.
Sure.
60 years until modern day. And guess who's behind some of these things, right?
Certainly not Epstein and his associates.
Well, you know, this is where Lawrence Summer comes in, because in 1999, this was a very big contention point.
Sure.
And there was a lot of people having big arguments for 60 years for this to go on and then for it to be repealed is a big thing, right? So in 1999. You know what? Let's go ahead and play the Bernie Sanders. I'm not normally a big fan of
Bernie Sanders,
but Bernie really breaks it down very well how this impacts the regular American person. So go ahead and play that clip of Bernie Sanders.
I thank the gentleman for yielding. Mr. Speaker, I rise in strong opposition to this bill. I support financial modernization if modernization means more choices for consumers, more competition, greater safety and soundness, stopping unfair bank fees, and protecting consumers and underserved communities. But, Madam Speaker, I believe this legislation in its current form will do more harm than good. It will lead to fewer banks and financial service providers, increased charges and fees for individual consumers and small businesses, diminished credit for rural America, and taxpayer exposure to potential losses should a financial conglomerate fail. It will lead to more mega mergers, a small number of corporations dominating the financial service industry, and further concentration of economic power in this country. It is no secret, Madam Speaker, that bigger financial institutions lead to bigger fees, which totaled more than $18 billion last year. The U.S. Public Interest Research Group and the Federal Reserve Bank have conducted studies and confirmed that bigger banks charge larger fees. And there is no question in my mind that if this bill is passed, that process will be accelerated. This bill is, in fact, however, good for big banks. But the big banks are doing just fine without this bill. Government-insured banks earned a record $18 billion in just the first 3 months of this year, $2.1 billion more than they earned in the same period last year. At a time of increasing bank fees, increasing ATM surcharges, increasing credit card fees, increasing minimum balance requirements, it is time for the Congress to stand up for the consumers. The big banks are doing fine. Let's protect the consumers. Let's vote no on this legislation.
Gentlemen's time has expired.
Well, that's why on the gray area we say we take from the left and we take from the right, and that we really are post-duopoly, because we agree with those statements, right? We agree with those things. And ultimately, it's a really sad thing that he bowed down to Hillary Clinton and sucked her cock.
Mm.
Really sad.
It is a shame. And the thing that you got to understand, Lawrence Summer during this time was the U.S. Treasury Secretary. So
right.
He was one of the guys, one of the main people that's behind the scenes orchestrating the things. You know how there's plenty of business meetings
of
and they're
course.
Having conversations? And basically, if you're lobbying to have this thing revoked after 60 years, it's a big deal. And just keep in mind, this happened around 1999 and 2000. Just 8 years later, we go back into our second biggest depression that we've ever had in 2008. It took us 60 years to get to the point where we were like, you know what? It's fine. Let's just let banks get back together. And then 2008 happens. And you know what that happens? Everybody's lived through that.
And you see, the public forgot about it and they knew they could get one over on us. And that's why ignorance is the biggest problem. We have to be politically aware, economically aware, aware of our society, and we have to be aware of these monsters, really, that are just waiting for us to make the mistake of going to sleep.
This is the stuff that they don't want you to know.
Right.
These are the details that are important to your life, because I apologize to anyone who went through 2008, lost their job because of these situations.
Right.
They didn't care about the long-term impacts. They said, you know what, this is good, I'm going to make money off of this deal, and then let's just push it forward and let's get this passed, right?
Absolutely.
And it's just sad, because you can see the difference in how these people operate. If you're on the Epstein files, that doesn't make you complicit automatically, but it says something about your character. And if you're willing to do those things on that island, then you're willing to sell out the American people, and that is the biggest argument here.
Absolutely, and that's why we don't accept it. Let's get into Leon Black.
Let's get into Leon Black, because Leon Black is even worse, right? Leon Black is the co-founder of the Apollo Group Management. He's one of the largest private equity firms.
Look at that friendly buddy right there.
Look at him. He doesn't look, he looks innocent, right?
Yeah. He looks Apollo like that sad bear from Toy Story. That's the monster.
100%, dude. Apollo manages hundreds of billions of dollars, and they're approaching a trillion, by the way. And their money comes from public pension funds, retirement funds, university endowments,
yeah,
insurance companies, you name it, right? So let's just look at really quickly how many times this guy's mentioned in the Epstein files.
8,203 times.
That's a lot. That's a lot. He's complicit, right? So now you got to understand, okay, Apollo Group, go ahead and play that clip really quickly. We know that he's implicated. There's Epstein files, but let's go ahead and play this.
The connection. Anyways, Leon Black is married and has four children. One of those children is a son named Ben Black. Ben Black runs investment funds, and he was recently appointed by Donald Trump. Literally just a few weeks ago, he was appointed to run the U.S. International Development Finance Corporation, which invests in infrastructure, healthcare, and food security. And when I tell you he was appointed weeks ago, he was appointed this month, October 2025. So Leon Black met Jeffrey back in 1996, and the two would maintain a friendship for over 20 years. A year after meeting in 1997, Leon Black would make Jeffrey the main trustee of his and his wife Deborah's foundation. The wealthy just love their self-named foundations, and they just really loved making Jeffrey in charge of them. Very strange. So for years, Leon was a client of Jeffrey's. Jeffrey did consulting work and tax mitigation strategies for Leon, as he did for many other clients. And over the years, Leon Black paid him around $160 million for the work that he did on his tax mitigation strategies. Like we've talked about before, Jeffrey was basically hiding money from the government for his client using tax shelters, trust funds, and offshore accounts. Due to Jeffrey's crafty tax mitigation strategies, he helped Leon Black avoid paying about $1.3 billion in taxes.
Liberal, liberal, liberal. Happy fun, la la la, human smuggling, fentanyl deaths, forced government euthanasia. See, I can't do it. I'm not as good as him. But the moral of the story at the end of the day is these people are monsters, right? And it's like the woman said, they just love putting Jeffrey Epstein in charge of their organizations.
100%. And if you just look at the whole story as it stands, the reason why Apollo Group is so important, the chances are if you've gone into like a Claire's or if you've gone into a bunch of these other corporations that you just regularly shop at, Apollo Group owns a portion, if not a majority at specific points. What they do is they go into a company that's already about to get into bankruptcy or they're in some financial trouble.
They take it over.
They take over that company and they put their own laws and the regulations. And if you think Leon Black, who's the head of this, is doing these things ethically, just remember every time that you shop, Leon Black is back in this behind the scenes with his company doing all types.
Every time you get a pension payment, same exact thing. And that's the thing. We pay into these systems without our consent because you don't know this guy's a monster. You know this guy's mentioned the Epstein files 8,200 plus times, right?
Yes.
And like that's our job on the gray area is to provide you not a circle jerk, not slop, but real information that you can act on, you can use to improve your life and improve America's future. ultimately. And that's why we do the deep dive. We do news blitz as well. We do guests as well, but we really pride ourselves on the deep dive. That's what makes us different than any other show. And a lot of times people will tell us, they'll go, well, that's simple. I already understood it all. And it's like, well, did you? Because I think I'm pretty well informed and aware of things, and I learn a new thing every single time we do a deep dive. And I feel like a lot of the people saying that, I mean, are you going to remember every detail from the Iran-Iraq war? Are you going to remember everything about 2008 financial crisis? Do you remember everything about the Great Depression?
No.
We've covered all that on the deep dive.
Yes. Rex, this gets even worse, right? She mentioned something about Leon Black's son. Let's go ahead and pull up a picture of him real quick.
Oh.
This guy is important, guys. Pay attention to this guy. Right?
Very loving.
Leon Black's son, Benjamin Black, he served as a senior economic policy. He made the rules within the Trump administration. This guy got elected by the Trump administration, I think October of 2025, right?
Appointed, but so, yes, yes.
Sorry.
No, you're all good. Sorry. You're all good.
Senior economic advisors in the White House basically do these things, right? They influence regulatory tone. They coordinate with the Treasury on financial agencies. They help shape tax and financial policy. They contribute to decisions and investments and development and policy, right? They don't pass laws, but they operate with inside the room where the economic direction is actually formed.
And they got a ton of influence.
Ton of influence. So when you have, you have a father that's controlling hundreds of billions of dollars, and then you have a son that's operating inside of the federal government, dictating economic policies. That doesn't automatically mean wrongdoing, right? But it does show how private capital and federal economic policy are married together. And you do it in-house. You do it through the family. And you don't think that they're behind the scenes having conversations with his dad. And he's like, you know, I think we should do this with this policy because it benefits. Okay, let's move some money around here. And those conversations happen behind closed doors. And they directly affect you and I.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the thing. Ultimately, I'm having this thought as we're having this conversation. Our governments run like a for-profit company when it really should be run like a 501c3. And the people we're giving charity to, and that's not even charity, people that are paying into the system, we need to help them out, the taxpayer, right? And every single thing that we've looked into when it comes to this kind of alliance of capital and governmental power, it is the sickest stuff that you would not believe. And that's why you need to be there every Thursday and Sunday to catch us live on The Gray Area. Of course, I'm going to tell you again, we are on X, Truism Tim on X. Follow Tim on X, Truism Tim on X, but Gray Area Talks on X, and then YouTube Rumble, the same name, Gray Area Talks. We're on episode 53 now, about to do episode 54, and it's just, it's incredible to get to be here in these studios.
Yeah, and you know what? The thing that I think about all of the time is they name these like nonprofit organizations Saving Our Children.
Sure, it has a name that you can't impeach. It has a name. It's like, well, you don't want Toys for Tots to get $1 billion? Well, it's run by a Jeffrey. You know, and not saying Toys for Tots, I think that's an actual thing. Retraction, indemnify myself, big mistake, having fun, pure speculation.
Defame
him. The thing is, Imaginary Charity Co. They'll say it's the greatest thing ever, that you can't criticize it, and then it's run by the most evil demon imaginable.
Yes, 100%. And that is why we cover these things in the deep dive. This is just two people, guys. This is just two people. There are
dozens and dozens
of people who haven't been arrested. You're seeing CEOs step down, but we don't even know how interconnected they still are to their orgs. They still have someone on speed dial at the end of the day. They can still probably make influence. They tell you, hey, look, I'm going to need you to step aside in public. And behind the scenes, we can just talk about it.
Sure.
So at the end of the day, guys, these are the things that you need to pay attention to. These are the things. We sit here and we complain about illegal immigration. I know you and I have disagreements on it, right? But if you look statistically, the number one reason for job loss is a recession. Go fact check me on that. It is a recession. And when you look at the recession, and how it is all tied, it's these evil people who have no intentions to actually do good for you and I. And they want us arguing over the facts that don't actually lead to the actual real reason.
Absolutely. And we demand change. We demand an end to the forever wars. We demand an end to the forever corruption. We demand an end to the forever oppression of the American people. We are the richest nation in the world. We're the most powerful nation in the world. And all we see is decline. We see decline in life expectancy. We see upticks in obesity, depression, suicide, unfortunately.
Yes.
And these are all very heavy, very important topics that we cover on The Gray Area, but it's all downstream of the elites that really just have that disdain and disregard for human life like we talked about.
And the worst part is, I know we're talking about the Epstein files, but the current event that's happening with Iran,
sure,
you got to understand, a lot of these soldiers come back from these conflicts. I've got a buddy out there, by the way. I got a buddy that just went out there probably.
I do now as well. I do now as well.
You do too.
I got a buddy just shipped out.
It's starting to hit home, right? They sent him to Kuwait 3 weeks ago.
That's tough.
My best friend tells him, he says, look, if you go out there, he thinks he's going out there for 9 months, by the way. He's like, if you go out there, there's probably no shot that you're coming here back after 9 months.
Sure. And did we vote for that? We voted against it. And I'm just going to keep saying it. Don't care who it offends. We voted against it. We reject it. The young people will not vote for you if you do this. And you've already done it.
We are the next generation. We have to speak up. At the end of the day, we were born into our situation, and we are where we're at. I mean, our generation can't even afford homes anymore.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. Some boomer who bought a house for 20 grand that's now worth 600K, they'll tell you up and down, it's your fault, you got to work hard, you got to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Hey, how about the richest country in the world? How about it works for us for a change?
100%. $4 million for a Tomahawk missile. You know where that $4 million could have gone for each Tomahawk missile? Back into school program.
Sure.
Could have gone into loans to be able to get people into houses for the first time buyers.
Sure. I think the estimated debt clock for how much we've spent so far in the region, I think it's $2.5 billion. Current conflict. Of course, we spent $9 trillion in Iraq and Afghanistan, but it's ticking up. It's ticking up. It's ticking up. And we got 90 seconds left. I want to leave you with a little thought experiment, okay? They told Trump, they told us that $5 billion was too much money to build the wall in the first term.
Ooh.
They spent $600 billion Ukraine and Israel, and they spent $800 billion cutting the corporate tax rate. That's $1.2 trillion. Ask what your government can do for you for a change. That's the message I want to give here today. Thank you all for being here with us. And again, Tim, where can they find us?
Yeah, they can find us at Gray Area Talks on X. That is where our main platform is. That's where we have clips. That's where we have most of our content. Your account also, we go live on there at 7:30 p.m. on Thursdays and Sundays.
Yes.
And it's outside of the InfoWars segment so that you guys don't have to decide which.
We're in that prime time slot where you're not going to miss Fuentes. You're not going to miss my dad. You're not going to miss Harrison. Just come on. Tune into the show. Hang out with us. We love interacting with viewers and listeners. We love hearing from you guys. We just love you guys in general. And this is really a dream come true for both of us to be able to do this. And we're just speaking truth to power, having a good time, and unifying together as Americans.
We love you guys. We appreciate everything that you guys have sat here, watched these deep dives. If you want more, just go follow Gray Area Talks. Follow me. I really appreciate anything. I'm new to this game at the
end. You're going to want to follow Truism. Timmy's an incredible guy. People are saying it. It's true. You're going to want to follow Truism. Tim on X. I promise. Let me tell you, this guy gives coverage like you would not believe. Thank you for being here with us today. Harrison is coming up. We love all of you again. Check out Gray Area Talks, YouTube, Rumble, and X.
Thank you, guys. God bless.
Our medical grade USP Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively at theolivesshowstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your Ultramethylene Blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexshowstore.com and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexshowstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. Thealexshowstore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
Ultimate Life Force. That's the name of the new product. This is hands down the strongest, most powerful spike protein detox out there with triple action, taking all the major best-selling certified safe formulas and integrating it in to just a massive daily dose. And it isn't just to clean out your blood, ladies and gentlemen. It is so good for your whole body. It's got 400 milligrams of NAC alone. That is the precursor to glutathione and just does incredible things for your whole body. Not just that, the energy, the stamina, all of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so excited about this formula. I don't have time to get into all the other great ingredients in it. Go to theolivesshowstore.com right now and check it out for yourself. This is so game-changing. Lesser formulas,
have already helped so many people that I've personally bought them for and, you know, given them to friends and family. This is amazing. Get yours now at theyellowshowstore.com for 50% off.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.